You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Oh, Jesus. You got any headache pills?
I got smack.
Talk about a fucking sledgehammer to crack a nut.
The battle for the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The video drum. The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, the television screen is part of the physical structure of the brain. Therefore, whatever appears on the television screen emerges as raw experience for those who watch it.
We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be.
Cinema Crespediso.
I have yet to tire of that cheesy horn. How's it going? Welcome to the newest episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespi. We're doing episode 224. Oh, snap. Actually, I was just going to go ahead and give you one of these. I was going to give you one of these. What's up, guys? How you doing? Welcome to the show. It is episode 224. It is the week after Easter. That is your Crespediso weather report for the month. Also, Also, I-4 is looking pretty clear. Hope that helps you wherever, whenever you are. This is not a live podcast. I got your threat update for the week. Right here, your threat update. Current threat level is Indigo. Monitor your concerns. Ladies and gentlemen, with me is the co-host, Drusa Cogburn. Drew.
How many trap remixes of this intro are we going to get?
This is the third. I think this is three of three.
Three of three?
I think three
of three. Are you sure it's not three of four, or three of six, or three of 12?
Well, when I did the first one, I only had one. When I did the first round, I did three. I only did three versions.
Okay.
I don't have another one in the chamber.
No.
And it's a super busy week this week with the Florida Film Fest, so just expect me reusing the last three intros over and over.
I just want to know what was going on.
It is trap crazy.
It is.
It's a lot of trapping.
It is.
A lot of trapping going on. Trapping out the studio.
Are you catching anything with your traps?
No.
I don't think we're using them properly.
I don't think we are. I don't think we're using the term properly.
I'm just saying.
We have a first-time guest. I guess I'm super happy to have here. He is behind the Daily City, Orlando's premier blog. If you want to know what's going on, what new businesses are popping up, which ones are going away, and my favorite, which restaurants are goddamn filthy and getting them violations. That is by far my favorite part. He is also behind the best food truck bazaar this side of the Mason-Dixon line. If you can prove otherwise, go fuck yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Baratelli is here.
Do I talk now?
Yes, you talk now,
hey!
Buddy. How's it going, dude?
Good.
Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I've known you since the SBK Live days.
Yes.
You're pushing the food truck stuff. When was that? 2011?
2011. March 31st, 2011.
That's when you started.
The first one.
That was the first one. You remember the date. Now we are 6 years later, going strong.
Yeah, doing it. We're in 10 cities.
10 cities?
10 cities, 39 trucks, 800 events so far.
God damn.
That's amazing. That's getting one of these, man. That is amazing.
Definitely.
Yes.
That is great stuff. And how's it going at the Daily City? Good?
It's good. Yeah. We had some rough years. We had some rough years. And we're slowly getting back on our feet.
I've seen that, yeah.
Loving it.
It's coming back a little bit more.
Yeah. Had now, some soul repair to do.
Did you really? A little soul searching before you came back to the people?
Yeah.
I saw that that pop-up shop you had going over at the now-defunct Artagon Marketplace.
Yeah, you know, I did that kind of under the radar. I didn't tell anybody. I tell people now, and I share pictures now, but it was just kind of an experiment because the rent was free. I had to pay 10% of my sales, and 10% of nothing is nothing. And I had done two pop-up shops, and I was like, oh, I wonder what it's like to do a store. And the owner, the initial conversation with the manager, he was like, he wanted to bring Food Truck Bazaar there, and I could not find a single location that made sense. But I was like, what about a store? And he's like, okay, take this space. And so I did it for like 4 months and then got out.
Did it get any traction whatsoever after four months? You were just like, this is not even worth it.
But again, I wasn't doing it. I mean, I had great product makers. It was all as like the other pop-up shops. It's like little makers, local makers of like t-shirts and wonderful things.
Yeah.
And I got them together and I just wanted to see what was it like to run a store. I knew that it was not going to be successful. So I knew the mall was going to be, I just sensed it.
You're right.
So it was just more for me to kind of get that experience.
Figure out the entrepreneurial side a bit because you report on a lot of that stuff too. And you talk to a lot of business owners and
it was free. So like, why would you turn down a free opportunity?
Where's the risk?
You're putting it in somebody else.
Yeah. 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 I bring that up because we went to Oregon one time to check out, what is this all about? Let's see what this marketplace is.
What's it all about?
And it was pretty close to when they first opened up. Like, shortly after that guy fell off that rope climbing thing and died, that 50-year-old dude. It was like back, a week or two later.
We went there a couple of times.
Did we go back?
Yeah, because we went there for the movie once, and we went back, because we were there and then we went back when Gods and Monsters opened.
Yes.
I wanted to see what that was all about, and it was very underwhelming.
It was legitimately disappointing. It was like the biggest comic book shop in town, and we get there,
and it's half full. Awesome.
Yeah, it's like square square feet wise it's the biggest comic book shop in town, but they have more stuff in the comic shop.
I was most intrigued by that indoor skate park that they were building. That what the fuck ever happened with that?
They never opened it, right?
No, they spent a bunch of money on the inside though.
Man, that place could have been cool.
Yeah, it could have been really cool.
Now it's going to be a parking lot for a theme park eventually.
See, I walked into that comic book shop, and I don't know anything about comic books, so I thought, oh, wow, people who like this must be so happy.
It was underwhelming.
But it's underwhelming.
Coliseum of Comics. Is that still at Fashion Square? Yeah. That place hasn't been raised yet.
No.
Seriously.
Soon enough, I mean, the Sears is already gone.
The Sears has the fence up.
The Sears left a couple months ago. Ooh, that's not good. Once you see the other corner stores leave, then that place is fucking gone.
That's where they're all going. That's when all the other stores can, they under leases, they have clauses that say if the anchor stores leave, we can break our leases and get out of here.
Yeah. I know at one point in time they were thinking about building a hotel there.
Yes.
As part of the mall.
The people who owned it, but then they were...
That stopped.
they're getting sued.
Awesome.
Well, they just said we'll give you the mall back, so they gave the mall back to the bank, and now the bank is managing it.
There we go. And we all know the one thing banks know how to do is manage property, manage retail, large retail spaces. That's what the banks do.
I just hope that like Sears is about to get demolished. I want to be there and watch it. I love demo sites. I love construction sites
and implosions, explosions, etc. I want to be there for whenever they finish construction or finally implode that I-4 building, the eyesore,
the
Super Channel building. They swear that they're going to finish it this year, 2017.
Sure. We all believe it.
Mm-hmm.
We do believe it. For you listeners in Japan, we have a lot of new Japanese listeners. The eyesore and I-4 is a disgusting building that is incomplete for the last 20 years now. It's just been sitting there.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Pretty much.
That's a local reference for you out-of-towners. And I forgot. I was going to bring it all back around. We went to the Artagon Mall, walked by. I was like, what is this? A Daily City store? And it was closed. I was like, oh, look at the windows. Yes. I was like, look at all this Orlando's wonderful stuff. I want that mug. We'll come back one day. And then we never went back.
No.
Or maybe when we did for the Gods and Monsters, it was gone by then.
Oh, along with like half of the other stores that were there when we went the first time.
Never tried that pizza either.
No.
What was that? A 2-minute pizza?
Now that's open. That's open. They opened a location in downtown.
Did they?
Yeah, in the apartment building with the Publix near the
Lake Eola.
Yeah.
Oh, very smart. There you go.
Yeah, that was one of the problems of running the store was that you have to be there 10 hours a day. And I'm running 10 food truck events. And yes. So I had to leave at 3, like,
you're already busy, you know,
two times a week.
So you have to hire someone to work it. And
yeah,
then that's
and then
where...
you're like, I'm paying someone to sit here for an audience that's not walking in the door.
And now your risk is going up because now you're putting money into something.
Yeah, which is wrong. If you know, business 101, don't put your own money in.
No.
Yes, I don't know anything about that, apparently, because this is all my own money. Well, Mark, you're correct.
I should leave.
No, you are right. I'm actually trying to correct that as we speak. Mark, thank you so much for coming here. We appreciate it.
Yes.
I hope you're ready to have a good time and just bullshit about a bunch of movies and TV and whatnot.
I'm ready. Right. I'm ready, America.
Well, when we
and
start,
Japan.
And Japan. A lot of Japan. Germany. Germany's popping up a lot lately. And then we already have our regular listeners in the UK, Canada, et cetera, et cetera. So you guys are all wonderful. We start with the streaming pick of the week, and that has its own theme song, and it goes like this, if I can find the button. Which one is it? Here we go. Go ahead and reach into that. Press producer randomizer 9000, pull out.
Assalamualaikum.
Pull out a movie. And hold on to it for 1 second.
Pick of the week.
As I drink my vodka. Guys, it's streaming pick of the week time. We let you know every week what is out there on the Netflix or the Hulu, Crackle, YouTube. There's so many movies out there for you to watch, and we tell you each week randomly which one is this week's pick. This week's pick. Take two. Welcome to Cinema Crespi. So I'm your host. We're gonna do the whole thing from ready, Jer?
Go.
Mark, go ahead and let everyone know what is this week's streaming pick of the week. Week.
Hulu Plus Mission Impossible.
Nice. I'm gonna write that down. Just have to do a simple M:I. Are you a fan at all of the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movies, Mark?
Now, isn't it making a comeback, or did he take over someone else's franchise? And
they were actually going to hand it off to Jeremy Renner at one point, and then but then Tom Cruise's stock went back up as all the Scientology and personal stuff, as they stopped putting that out there in public, and he just went back to making movies. Everyone was like,
it's
yeah,
important. I'm glad that he's making his comeback. Is there another one coming out?
He's fantastic. Yes, there is. They're going into production very soon on the 6th one.
Go ahead. I thought he took over another franchise.
He just took over the Mummy franchise.
Yes. Okay.
And he's going to be, which is crazy.
Yes, so it's going to be Mission Impossible with monsters.
Which I'm totally fine with. I feel like it's almost like Tom Cruise is above like the Mummy or that type of movie. Like, he's a legit movie star, can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. Just for him to be like, oh yeah, I'll do a monster movie with Universal. It's like, what? This is crazy. I love Tom Cruise. I am at least on the show, unabashed fan of the dude. Hardest working movie star out there. For this new Mission Impossible that they're working on, rumor is he's been, you know how he does a big stunt now in all these movies? The rumor is that he's been working for a full year training to do whatever this stunt is.
He's going
to
dive into a volcano.
I'm thinking it's some sort of skydiving. Well,
he's going to swim in lava.
In a lava suit?
Yes, he's been, no suit, bareskin, swimming in lava.
It's impossible to
swim
in lava.
How do you prepare for that?
I have no idea.
Like, for a year.
He's been hardening his skin, Chris.
You start swimming in hot water.
Oh, yeah.
Work your way up.
Turn the water up.
You scald yourself and create layers and layers of skin.
Yes, there you go. Then you work your way into cold metal.
Yes. then hot metal.
Is that possible? Cold liquid metal?
And then eventually you get yourself to molten rock.
Oh, man.
Is this a movie that he's producing himself? Because didn't he used to produce a lot of movies himself?
He produces them all himself, as a matter of fact.
Is he producing Mummy and Mission Impossible?
He's probably on there as a co-producer with Paula Wagner, who he's been working with through Paramount, the Cruise-Wagner partnership. You see that on a lot of movies, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah,
no. Making his own opportunity. Reese Witherspoon is doing that, right?
Yeah,
she's producing her own movie. She's like, I can't get cast. Yeah. I'm hashtag irrelevant. I'm going to make my own movies.
And as a matter of fact, she picked up the rights to The Girl on a Train to produce that, and she wanted to star in that, and then the other producers were like, no. Like, we love that you're making this movie. We need to find someone else. And she was like, okay. Wild, she produced that one and cast herself in it. Obviously, that was a great movie. Very underrated, I think, movie.
Mm.
Remember that one? That's the one where she goes on the
Did she win the Oscar trail? For that?
No. Just a couple of nominations.
Has she won an Oscar?
I don't think so.
Yeah, is let's she? Keep it that way. No, but what I love is this, is like, keep the. I love that she keeps the train going, you know?
Yes.
Okay, she's not a bankable A-list person. Well, then I'm going to go into this direction. I'm going to keep on going in the industry that I'm totally 100% familiar with.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta find your own path and make it and create it. And one of the ways a lot of actors and actresses do that is your own production company. Mm-hmm. And then you can develop your own stuff. And that's a very smart way to do it.
Sink or swim on your own.
Absolutely. You put all your eggs in your own basket, then you put that basket out on the water, and then you see if it sinks or swims. Mm-hmm. It's a very mixed metaphor. Not really working there, but it's Mission Impossible.
I've had some mixed baskets. Oh, God. Sink or swim. I'm going to burn my skin and go away in the volcano.
That's the Crespediso spirit right there.
I'm sorry. You said it was a rumor that Tom Cruise was doing something to prepare?
It's taken him a year to train for whatever big stunt he's doing for the new Mission Impossible. That is going to come out probably next year, late next year.
That sounds like a rumor planted by him.
Probably. Yeah.
Well, still, I mean, if it's anything, I mean, what?
You guys are going to want
to
see
this. For the last one, he strapped himself to the side of a plane.
Yeah.
And what, fucking lifted off and took off how many times?
Like 12 times. Had to fly like 5,000 feet in the air on the side of this airplane for a stunt. And also the same movie that underwater stunt where he held his breath for 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Did these things sell tickets? I mean, I feel like the fans that are going to go see that movie are going to go see it whether he risks his life or not.
I think part of the allure is the stunt work.
Is the risk.
Yeah. How you can see like plainly in the fifth one, there's a motorcycle chase.
There's been five with him in it?
Yeah, I'm saying the sixth one is the one they're working on now. Yeah. And in the last one, he's doing a motorcycle chase, a very high speed one, and like no helmet. A lot of shots of him at one point, like he's doing like the drifting where you have to get the bike down low and like you're hanging over the street and his knee like touches the ground and zoop, and you see him go like ugh, and like look like real quick like, oh my goodness, almost crashed.
He's gonna Paul Walker himself.
He very well could
The power of Xenu might save him.
So Xenu, yeah, sure, Xenu's watching over him, which is what I'm saying, which is why he's one of my favorites personally. He works so hard and puts so much on the line for our stupid entertainment, for us idiots.
It is for his bank account. Is for other people's bank accounts.
Yeah, but that
it
bank
is
account
for Xenu.
But those bank accounts get filled up when we're entertained. If he does all this stuff and we're not entertained, then it's like, then fuck it. Might as well just be, he's just another Chris Angel.
Kardashian.
Yeah, well, the Kardashian bank. All these people are super rich. Goddamn.
Yeah, they are.
Mission Impossible, the original, directed by Brian De Palma, which makes it just as much a Brian De Palma movie as is Mission Impossible, which means a lot of slow motion shots, lots of shots of feet running in slow motion, and femme fatale intrigue and the male gaze, extensive male gaze, because it's Brian De Palma. That's what he does. Great stuff. I love it. Watch all the Mission Impossibles. And did you say it was on Hulu Plus?
Hulu Plus.
So that's for you Hulu Plus people. Otherwise, you got to get on them Russian streams to steal it. Let's get into the box office recap. Talking about that money, Drew, where were you starting the box office top five?
Top five starts at number 17.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
Free Fire made $1.39 million. Same as the total.
How many screens is Free Fire in?
1,070.
1,070 screens? Not bad wide release for this British English produced film. Free Fire, Mark, is this movie that Drew and I just saw where it's pretty much an 80-minute shootout. Action scene.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Two groups.
It's a comedy?
Yeah.
Is this the one about guns?
Yes.
And it's
action comedy set in a warehouse. Yeah. Two groups meet up to do a deal.
It's executive produced by some famous person.
Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Which means he just like
threw some money at it.
Yeah, got a little money raised for
Reese Witherspoon was put a couple million in there.
He Reese Witherspoon this one. it's done by this English fellow, Ben Wheatley, who does a lot of twisted, weird movies. His last one was High Rise. Highly recommend that one. With Tom Hiddleston and Jeremy Irons and a host of other people.
Did Tom Hiddleston date Taylor Swift? Is that
a whole summer?
Yeah, that's the only reason I know that name.
One whole summer.
Yeah. He is the probably the most popular bad guy from all the Avengers movies.
Yeah.
That's where most of America knows him. That and as the A Summer Fling for T Swift. I'm not sure which song of hers is written about him, but I'm sure one of them is specifically about him.
I wonder if she was an she became an investor in his films, and she's like, "Well, I got to get his something,
his stock
raise
up.
His stock up, so I can make more money as an investor in his films."
Because that's what she does. If she decides to date someone, that's the power of T. Swift in the media, yeah. Pop culture, and TMZ. It's weird. The American society. What are we doing to ourselves? In Free Fire, there's a lot of actually great actors and actresses in this one. Brie Larson is fantastic. I love her. Charlto Copley, South African actor who started with District 9 back in, what was that, 2009?
I saw that. That's where it's like
the South African alien settlement. Yes. Like the spaceship like pretty much got stranded on Earth. Yeah. And they just like detained
hang out
them.
In the ghetto.
Yeah, they detained them in an alien ghetto. Yeah. And the dude who's the lead in that movie, Charlto Copley, that was his first movie, that. And it went on to be this huge hit. And he was just a friend of the director, who the director was like, "I have ultimate faith in you in being my lead." And he was like, "Okay, if you say so, I've never been in a movie before." He was like a director and a producer on his own right and did his own thing. He had his own little production company. Now he's been like in the A-Team movie. He was in that first person POV movie, Hardcore Henry, was it? It came out last year. And now
he was the best part of that movie.
He was easily the best part of that movie. He's actually a very fun actor, and he's probably one of my favorite parts in this Free Fire movie. He's very over the top and ridiculous, and it is an action movie, but it's also a comedy, a dark comedy, and it's a very sloppy action movie too, because it's like the two groups just scatter in this warehouse and they're just shooting at each other like pot shots, not even aiming.
Yeah, no, I mean everybody's getting shot in either the leg or the arm.
Yeah.
So they all survive, they're just writhing around in pain and dirt.
They're surviving. These people start dying eventually. Yeah,
of course.
Did you just give away the end of the movie?
No. There's a lot to give away, and no, for sure.
I mean, you were wrong, Chris. You said only half the people die.
I predicted that there would be a 50% death rate, and I was wrong. Right. I won't say in which direction, positive or negative, but yes, I was incorrect about that death rate. I was correct in the fact that everyone would be shot at some point.
You're right. Everybody did get shot. Every single person got shot.
Because everyone's got a gun. If everyone's got a gun, no one's got a gun.
Yeah.
Or everyone has a gun.
Everybody's got a gun.
Everyone's got guns.
Everybody gets shot.
I feel like, is this movie trying to say something about guns? I don't know.
Maybe.
Is it?
Was it weird? I'm going to go there. Was it weird to watch post Pulse?
Because
it doesn't sound like it was at all weird.
No,
not really.
Because
it was so over the top.
It's
ridiculously over the top, and it's set in the 70s too, so everyone's dressed all funny.
Yeah, it's not like it's a movie about a dude who walks into a nightclub and starts shooting people, unarmed people.
No, it's about a bunch of Irish guys trying to get money for their silly war.
It's set in the 70s, yeah, so it's Irish dudes trying to get money for the IRA because of the troubles. And they're meeting up with another group of wacky people, and it's like a Tarantino movie.
I just feel like when I watched the ad, it was like guns. Like, right? Yeah. Wasn't the ad like completely 100%. Like shooting?
Yeah. The poster is like four or five arms with guns, like in this weird pattern. It is 100% about gunplay. But when you watch the movie, it's not glamorizing it.
No.
Because they're all a bunch of idiots.
Yep.
It sounds like it's more about their character than the guns.
Yes. It's about how all these dummies with guns think that they can solve the problem that they're in with their guns, and all they're doing is making everything so much worse.
Yeah.
I mean, is it a metaphor for war?
That's what I'm wondering.
Maybe. I mean, half of them can't even hit their target, so.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're a bunch of idiots. One of them is a straight up junkie.
Yeah. Straight up.
Freebasing heroin in the middle of the whole thing and like falling asleep with his gun in his hand like a dummy. Yeah, it is a ridiculous over-the-top movie. A lot of fun. And we say it's violent. A lot of people are getting shot, but it's aside from a couple of moments, it's not necessarily over-the-top violent in terms of like blood and guts, etc. You know, it's still, you know, like a lot of people will be put off by extreme violence, and it doesn't really get extreme. It's just almost like what if the Three Stooges made an R-rated gun movie?
Yeah,
that
much.
Sounds appealing.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's just a bunch of dummies shooting at each other.
They are, for the most part, they're a bunch of dummies.
I mean, and there's no real like hero of the film. They're all pretty awful people.
Yeah,
it
is weird how throughout the movie I found myself rooting for different people and for different things. At first I was like, oh, I don't like that guy. But then later it's like, oh, I hope he kills that person. Then at another point I was like, oh man, I wonder if that dude's going to get it. It's a weird thing. But I enjoyed it. I would say, you know, if you're into action movies and dark comedies, definitely keep an eye out for Free Fire. It's worth watching, right, Drew?
I agree. Yeah. 100%.
All right. Are we going to the top five now?
Yes.
All right, what's number five?
Number five, Going in Style, made $5 million, total of 31.
I read an interesting article recently about movies like this, Going in Style, in which Michael Caine Alan Arkin and God himself, Morgan Freeman, they get ripped off by their bank, so they go to rob that bank to get their money back. And I read an article about how come movies about old people are only about them on like their last hurrah or doing something crazy, like doing drugs or robbing banks or, you know? And
it sounds like the male First Wives Club.
Yeah. The First Wives Club.
I mean, just the way you described it. Well, it's just like we're a group of people, and someone did us wrong. Now we're going to get together and fix the solution.
Yes, and it is pretty much that with geriatrics.
Oh,
yeah. Or which came out last year, Hell or High Water,
which is about
two younger dudes who they're robbing banks because the banks ripped off their family and their land and trying to take my land, you know. Or that's more of a Jeff Bridges. And so it's like that, but with
the young people.
Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine. He's like,
I
gotta work on my Michael
Caine. Number four this week.
Still trying to work at that Jeremy Irons.
Born in China.
Sounds good.
You like the Jeremy Irons? Yeah. Working at the Jeremy Irons is a little harder.
Yeah.
But Michael. Number four,
Born in China.
You're right, though.
It's weekend gross, $5.14 million. Seems a total.
A lot of throat work in that Jeremy Irons. No.
What is the movie called?
Born in China. It's Disney Nature documentary about, panda bears, golden monkeys, and something else.
The Chinese wildlife. Apparently, they shot some ungodly amount of footage to make this movie. Like, days and days and days worth of footage to make an hour and a half, 2 hour documentary. I'm surprised it broke the top five. Usually, these Disney nature documentaries don't get this high in the box office. So, I don't know. For some reason, people want to see it.
Is this a reboot of that crap they put out, Disney put out in the 60s, those nature movies? Do you remember? Disney is like rebooting everything. Is that the right word, reboot, for this?
Sure. If
like
it's
Beauty
the same,
and the Beast, is that called a reboot?
Yeah, that is like the Beauty and the Beast, a live action reboot, remake. Yeah. All these words are interchangeable too. Disney does go back to the well a lot. And
They have a deep well to go to.
They do have a deep well. And they haven't stopped going to these. They haven't stopped making these things, these nature documentaries. They've been making them steadily for the last few years.
Were they the ones that made the Penguin movie?
No. March of the Penguins.
Yeah.
That thing made so much money too. It's weirdly popular. I fell asleep during that boring ass movie. And then I saw Farce of the Penguins, and that was not good at all. Remember that one?
No.
Bob Saget does the voiceover for the whole thing, and it's a penguin documentary.
Wait,
but
is Bob
fake.
Saget Bobcat Goldthwait, or who's Bob Saget?
No, Bob Saget's Danny Tanner,
Dad.
Full House, America's Funniest Home Videos.
Did he try to inject humor into it?
He tried.
Yeah.
He definitely tried. It was a farce for sure. But I don't think he's into Born in China?
Born in China.
Born in China. I don't think he does any voiceover work in Born in China. That would be interesting, though. It was a straight documentary, normal thing, but then Bob Saget chimes in. He's like, look at these pandas.
That's weird.
That would be weird.
Number three this week.
Number three.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
$9.9 million. Total of $471 domestic.
What? Seriously?
Yeah.
Almost $500 million just North America?
Yeah.
That's an insane amount of money. And the internet's down, so we can't tell you worldwide, but it's over a billion, which is insane.
Have you seen her doll?
No.
She has a doll. God, it's such a shame.
I'm about to say, it probably looks nothing like her, like most dolls.
Oh, it looks just like her. But apparently she has a pronounced chin. Like, you don't really think about it, but she has a little bit larger chin than like a normal princess lady looking lady. And the doll is unfortunate. But I don't think, I think kids are non-judgmental at that age. They're just going to see, they're going to see her face.
Not the giant chin.
They don't see the pointy chin thing. Mm-hmm. No. It's like a Reese Witherspoon-y type
thing. I was just thinking that. I was going to say it, but yeah, no. It's worse.
It's worse?
It's like a pointed fox. Like she has a prosthetic on her. Go look at the doll. I saw it in Disney World.
All right, we're going to have to get that internet fixed. And Drew's going to pull up. What are you going to do, Drew? Fix the internet. Drew's going to fix the internet. While Drew fixes the internet. What was number two, maybe?
I just lost the web page because of my
internet. Oh, so we got to fix the internet. Drew's going to go fix the internet because it's not in here.
Do we keep talking?
You and I might as well keep talking. I'm drinking vodka club soda.
What is the deal with... Because I did not see Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. And someone's asked me to see it. And I was like, why? Because I'm like, what? Just why?
My thought process.
Did you and you saw it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, good.
Because
okay.
Why? It's like the animated movie was just fine. I remember. Do that
again. Ridiculous. I said over half a, almost half $1 billion.
Half a billion for the Alec Boss Baldwin Baby.
As a baby.
For number two, Boss Baby.
Ridiculous.
Screw you, America. Now you're getting a trilogy. Boss Baby trilogy.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. Uh-huh. And number one, The Fate of the Furious. Made an additional $38 million.
Is Rihanna in that?
No.
Although, if she was, there'd probably be more money in it.
She's going to be in this summer.
Ocean's 9? Ocean's 11?
Yeah. Ocean's 8. They're going to do Ocean's 8, 9, 10.
With all women?
With all women. Great. She's part of the crew. And then 8, 9, 10 obviously then leads into 11.
Do you think she's going to wear her Fenty flip-flops and clothes from her Fenty Puma line?
I'm sure that she probably has some sort of deal. Right. It's like, I'm gonna be able to have my own stylist, my own fashion.
If not her, then somebody will be.
Somebody will be wearing Fenty. Definitely.
Yeah. They're going to make sure to work it in. I've only seen Rihanna in two movies. This is the End. Where she has like one scene before the apocalypse comes, and she's just playing Rihanna, and I think a drunk version of Rihanna.
No, which means she was just playing Rihanna.
Or yeah, she might have just been actually drunk on set. Mm-hmm. And Battleship, the movie Battleship, she was in that, and it was not good. The movie's not good.
Can I just detour briefly about Rihanna? Yes. Rihanna is someone who is held in high regard, sells a lot of music, is created her own fashion line,
very
probably
popular.
Create other products, but she doesn't pretend to be anything other than she is. She is talking about pot.
Yeah,
you should see. I follow a lot of fashion blogs.
Okay.
And fashion. She dresses exactly the way she wants, and it's not pretty. It's not.
That's true. She does,
and she's partnering with all these big brands. I love that that a woman or a man, or whatever, can be exactly who they are and still be held high. And you know,
as a matter of fact, I think that's what people are responding to, especially in her case.
Her honesty.
Yeah, everyone likes that. Riri is doing her thing.
Riri.
You know, Riri, and she put out that video. Speaking of like not really caring so much about what other people think of her, she put out that "Bitch Better Have My Money" music video.
Yeah.
What was that? A year ago, I think already.
It was violent, right?
Very violent. It was long and violent, very stylized, and it made a huge splash. And how many people can put out a music video now and it gets noticed and it goes, quote, viral or whatever? It's like her and Beyonce at this point.
Do you think... Now, I was paranoid that she was, like, probably 5 or 6, 7 years ago, that she was going to feel the pressure to be Beyonce. But do you feel like Beyonce's last couple albums have kind of gone in the direction of Rihanna? A little more racy, a little more...
Beyonce has, as her career has progressed, has definitely gotten racier.
Do you think that's of her own doing, or like maybe watching Rihanna? Because
responding to a market.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's just what Beyonce has always wanted to do, and she's just had to. When you start with Destiny's Child, it's more pop music, you know, like the Boys to Men version of the women version of Boys to Men, that type of thing. And then when you go solo, it's just like anyone that's going solo. Mark Marker who's already doing his thing, but anyone that then breaks off like from One Direction or one of these guys, right? Then they get more sexual, more intimate with their music,
right?
But she, yes,
as they grow up,
yeah.
Miley Cyrus did that.
Oh, come on. No, talk about wrecking a brand.
She did fucking tank that shit.
Wrecked a brand.
But she also doesn't seem to care. She's just a stoner now. She hangs out and just smokes weed, and she doesn't give a fuck.
She's got so much money, she gives no fucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's another one. She's
but
another one without a fuck to give.
I think she was being herself, but compare her to Rihanna. You know, I think...
People seem to like what Rihanna...
sunk. Yeah. Rihanna's doing, you know, partnerships and movies and... And Miley's over here.
Probably because when Rihanna was introduced to everyone, this is like who I am. This is what I do.
From the beginning. From the get-go.
Yes. Yeah. We're talking about Hannah Montana then being like, I'm actually, this is who I really am. I'm all about smoking weed and making dick jokes and stuff and like having these ridiculous live shows.
It just came off as an unsophisticated pivot.
Yes.
We're all for pivots, right? We like to see people change. Mm. Beyonce made a big pivot, right? But Miley's pivot was just questionable and unplanned. And
it was like a sharp 90-degree turn into like
unappealing.
I am now a crazy adult entertainer as opposed to Hannah Montana.
With
and a
no
lot of people...
style. And I remember when I first saw her cut her hair. Are we going off the rails?
It doesn't matter.
When she put
this
that on
show.
Instagram.
This is what we
okay,
do.
She put that photo on Instagram where she cut all her hair off. They showed the older gay guy cutting her ponytail off, and just thought, I hated him in the photo. And then they showed her with that, and I was affected. I wasn't even a fan, but yeah. She did that song "Can't Be Tamed," mm-hmm. which was like her first dip into pop music. And yes. She did that. I was like, okay, well, that wasn't really popular, but you could see she could in like 5 years she'd be big. But she just went "F you," I'm gonna cut all my hair off, and just went downhill from there.
It's weird. And now she's like, the last thing she did, I think, was the Woody Allen Amazon series, which no one liked. It was critically panned. No. Everyone's like, it's obvious Woody Allen did this for money. He had no idea what he was doing. Miley, she was like, I only did it so I could work with Woody Allen. And she's also playing the character who's like a hippie stoner anyway. She was like, I got to work in my own points of view, etc., etc.
It's like Mariah Carey being proud that Patti LaBelle is her godmother. Like, Patti LaBelle is a fifth-rate diva. You know, I've said enough.
No, that's...
You know?
We like the hard opinions here. Hard truth. Stances. The truth. Not holding back. I like it. Fifth rate. Patti LaBelle. Why? She's so nice. She seems so nice.
No, she is nice, I mean...
What are some Patti LaBelle songs?
Exactly.
Right?
Her and Michael McDonald, On My Own, Lady Marmalade, New Attitude. I mean, I could name them on like one hand, the number of songs.
Anything with Michael McDonald has to elevate you one rating, so at least fourth.
Wait, is he alive? Because he needs to have a little baby comeback.
He does, yes. I think he is alive. No, the world has yet to
mourn. I will be there. Oh, Neil.
Yes. Everyone's got a Michael McDonald. Come on, Drew, do your Michael
I'm
McDonald.
I'm fighting. I don't have one. I'm looking to see if he's still alive.
Looking to see if he's still alive. It's so much fun just to talk like him.
It's so much fun coming to topical. It sounds like a cartoon bear.
Yes, it does. Like a
Yogi's best friend. I think he's still alive.
Yeah, I think he is. Because if he died, we'd all be like mourning the death.
He just needs a Rick Astley viral moment for like 6 months. Come out with some weird song.
He's on tour right now.
What?
You can. He'll be playing the Thunder Valley Casino Resort and Amphitheater in Lincoln, California, on Saturday, June 10th.
Road trip. Road trip. Here we go. It's a casino and Michael McDonald. We're gonna lose all your money. man.
Look at him and Jimmy Buffett. Now, I'm not comparing Buffett. The two. Like, Buffett is like, take my name and make a restaurant, make a retirement village,
do whatever
make a
you
resort.
Want with my name.
I'll be over here.
That's a movement, though, Jimmy Buffett and all his fans.
That's true. Yeah, Michael McDonald didn't really, yeah.
Yeah, McDonald needs the McDonald heads, the McDonald's.
I mean, almost
now you're dealing with the burgers.
Almost the entire state of Florida is like obsessed with Jimmy Buffett.
I think you could put Patti LaBelle and Michael McDonald on the same ticket. You know, they're kind of the same level. Like, they would be doing those Universal concerts, right?
Well, yeah, they would. But Michael McDonald's a third-rate diva, if you ask me.
Oh, he's a little higher than Patti LaBelle? Okay.
Hell yeah, he is.
All right.
Yeah, because you can do... People don't do Patti LaBelle impressions. A lot of people do Michael McDonald impressions.
Yeah, true.
You also did all that stuff with Kenny Loggins, right?
Oh, Chris, October 21st, Coachman Park, Clearwater, Florida.
Clearwater, Florida?
Michael McDonald.
We're there. That's a reasonable trip, as a matter of fact. All right, cool. It looks like a Crespiso concert get-together at Michael McDonald's.
Or on March 3rd, 2018, you can see him on the 2018 70s Rock and Romance Cruise.
March 3rd?
Oh. I can go March on cruise? 3rd, 2018.
Oh, 2018. Okay, I was about to say. Yeah. My time machine's in the shop, but once we get it fixed.
March 3rd of next year. You
can That's the thing with time machines, even though they're broken. Once you get it fixed, then you can still go back to when you need to, because it's a time machine.
Didn't that woman in Back to the Future say at the Florida Film Festival that Back to the Future is timeless? I heard that.
No, she didn't. Leah Thompson?
She said it's timeless.
She said it's timeless?
Yeah. I think I haven't seen it in 10 years.
It's very punny.
She was joking. I really thought she was being sincere.
It sounds very punny. It is a timeless movie, though, in terms of entertaining just... How well it's made, and
I thought so.
Yeah, it's still very watchable. I watched it recently.
It was on TV a couple days ago.
It's on TV all the time. Yeah. I had that big pop when October 2015 came around. That was the date in Back to the Future Part 2.
Exactly.
And then it had another pop last year when the Cubs won the World Series in 2016. And then Back to the Future, like, oh, they missed it by 1 year because the Cubs won the World Series in 2015. I love those movies, man. Yeah, it was very cool that Leah Thompson was in town for a screening. That Billy Crudup's gonna be in town next weekend.
She's
for whatever his first movie was.
Is that tonight?
Billy Crudup?
No, the Leah Thompson thing.
I think that was the last night.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they would do it on a Sunday.
Why was she there?
For a Q&A.
Did she have a movie?
Yeah, a Q&A for the. I think they showed back to. No, I think they showed Back to the Future.
Do you remember when Emma, what's her name, the redhead from La La Land, was here in Orlando?
Emma Stone.
She was the star. Do you remember that?
No.
I do, and I had the opportunity to get an interview with her because of Daily City, and I was so... I didn't know who she was. I didn't know anything. And she wasn't famous at the time.
Sure.
Oh, no,
but I was just like, I'm not an interviewer. And I said no.
So be able to just like come up with questions on a spot like that. Yeah. It's a lot of pressure to be an interviewer like that.
The thing with Leah Thompson is tonight.
Oh, that's tonight?
Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock.
Maybe she's doing multiple things. Man, no, I don't remember that. But they get great people almost every year. Like both up-and-coming people and like established stars. They got... What's his name? Paul Newman for the very first one.
Oh my gosh.
Back in like 89. And the movie they showed, opening night movie, was, speaking of Jeremy Irons, was Cronenberg's Dead Ringers. Which is a hell of a...
Fucking damn. That is a way to open up a film fest right there.
Dead Ringers is like, fuck. Have you ever seen that
one? Wow. Jeremy Irons plays himself and his twin, and he falls in love with a woman who has reproductive organs inside of her?
Okay, he plays twin gynecologists, and they're going like crazy, mentally ill, and he comes up with his own tools, examination tools. But
designed by H.R. Giger.
Yeah, the tools are designed by H.R. Giger, let you know what direction he's going in, and it's a psychosexual like thriller. And it's a David Cronenberg movie.
Like I said, how many sexual organs does that lady have inside of her?
Yeah, I think.
Does Paul Newman have a film festival? His own film festival?
I don't think
so. He seems like someone who would have it, like a Robert Redford project, you know,
like a Sundance type thing.
He's probably hooked up. I don't think Newman ever did Redford with Sundance.
No, see, Sundance Redford did with another fellow who I can't remember his name, but he's the guy who might still be the president of the film school over at UCF.
Oh, nice.
And De Niro made up New York Film Festival, right?
Tribeca Film Festival. Yeah, which is he did after 9/11 to help build up the downtown area.
I think that's cool. I think that's so cool to like use your fame to create these arts events. In cities.
Yeah, to have a specific economic impact or to promote an ideal. Gina Davis started a festival that's done now. I think they just did for the first time maybe 2 years ago.
Is anybody a fan of Gina Davis?
I'm a fan of Gina Davis.
You are.
Yeah, because she's in The Fly, which is one of my favorite movies.
Tootsie? She was in Tootsie, right?
Was she in Tootsie with Hoffman?
Yeah.
I think she was
in her underwear.
She had so much stuff in the 80s. Fletch. The original Fletch, she was in that one. She's a side character in that.
A League of Their Own.
Yes. She's fantastic. Her and Lori Petty, they're great.
Did Lauren Petty die?
No, she's... Lori Petty's good to go. Tank Girl's still with us, thank goodness. But
I feel like Lauren Petty and who was the blonde, Miley Cyrus should do a project together, right?
They should
Mom and daughter.
Tank Girl too.
There we go.
I'm down with that. Yeah, mom, daughter, team. Yeah, she can be Tank Girl Jr. Do girls do Jr. if you name a daughter after
I don't know. I just want to know, are we bringing back the giant mutant kangaroos?
Yes. The movie's going to be about the giant mutant kangaroos. Tank Girl's a weird fucking movie.
Yeah, it is.
I was going to say something else, and I forgot. The number one movie is Fate of the Furious, made a shit ton of money. We already talked about that in depth last week, and with our bonus episode. Have you seen any of these Fast and the Furious movies at all?
No.
Are you a fan of action movies,
not
really?
My genre.
No.
I think I saw... What was the action movie with the unappealing Gwyneth Paltrow? What is that? Iron Man?
Yes.
I saw one of those. I enjoyed that.
Was it the one where she gets to actually wear a suit? And she flies around in a suit at one point.
Well, she wore a beautiful tailored business
outfits.
Suits.
Yeah.
She's very sleek.
She's extremely sleek. She is.
Yeah. Goop. Her website Goop.
I've always liked her, even as an actress. I've liked her, but like when she does interviews and stuff, and she says things, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, some of the things she says,
snooty.
Just like what
it's
the
a
fuck?
Little snooty.
Stick to acting, please.
And let someone else do your quotes.
Even that, it's like a little hit and miss. Well, these movies are very fun. I tell people when it comes to action movies, even if you're not necessarily a big fan of the genre, like my mom likes these movies.
Oh,
and she's not. She just wants to be entertained.
Do you think that they're designed for women, like for boyfriends to bring their girlfriends and the girlfriends enjoy? Are there moments that ladies would like?
I think so.
Like shirtless men out of the pool or something?
No, more in that a lot of characters are women and they're given stuff to do as opposed to just being girlfriends and stuff.
Wasn't Michelle Rodriguez in one of these?
She's in all of them. Yeah, she's in most of them.
Is she dead? Because she, I feel like...
Yeah, and she's like, when she was on the set of Lost, it was close there when she was getting busted for drunk driving. And
did she do a movie about dolphins? Her living with dolphins or
I don't think so, she did the one where she was fighting. That was the one that broke her girlfriend.
Girl Fight.
Yeah, she's fighting Girl Fight. That's the one.
Is it really called Girl Fight?
Yeah, it's really called Girl Fight. Yeah,
it's like Girl Fight Club.
It's pretty much Girl Fight Club, but it's Girl Fight. And it's Karen Kusama is the director. Remember that movie, The Invitation, Drew, that we watched? Mm-hmm. That mumblecore horror thrasher thing? Thriller, that was the same director.
Oh, okay.
Karen Kusama. She, her first movie had Michelle Rodriguez, which was pretty much her first movie and made it all popular. Yeah, she's like, I think what it is they cast people like Michelle Rodriguez, and in the latest one, the main bad guy is Charlize Theron, and Helen Mirren has a cameo. They're casting women in major roles, which then, you know, is more appealing to women, obviously. And they also cast not just white people, but, you know... like Tyrese, yellow people, brown people, et cetera. There's Puerto Ricans and Hispanics, there's blacks, there's Asians, and
it does feel like one of those franchises that appeals to black and Latino and white. They're purposefully,
100%.
Well, I mean, it's all led by Vin Diesel, you know,
and Vin Diesel doing his racially androgynous thing.
Saw a video on YouTube today of Vin Diesel teaching you how to break dance from the 80s.
That's right. Yeah, he there's 80s or 90s. There's breakdancing
early
videos.
90s.
There's breakdancing videos out there. Vin Diesel.
It's not pretty.
He had an interesting career before he got popular with Pitch Black and all that stuff. But yeah, that's why after only 2 weeks, this thing is almost at $1 billion worldwide. You think the Beauty and the Beast is making a lot of money? This movie made $500 million in 3 days.
So is Disney gonna buy it?
No, don't buy Universal.
Oh, Universal gonna do a stunt show?
They already are. As a matter of fact, I think
isn't that what their stunt show is?
In
is
Hollywood.
It already the it's Fast not, and Furious stunt show?
I don't think it's a stunt show. I think it's their tram tour that they do in the Hollywood studio. Part of it turns into like a Fast and Furious car chase.
Oh my God. Thing. What about a Fast and the Furious parade?
They're just being on the road.
Yeah, that would like, yeah. No one would be able to watch it, and a lot of people would die.
The world's fastest parade. Yes, because everyone should slide.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one thin rope separating them from the street.
Well, not exactly.
Everyone is Tom Cruise now.
No, exactly. They do all the big stuff, too, where they're dropping from the fucking sky and tanks and all the dumb shit.
They parachute the car in. Yeah. A sub breaks the street from underneath.
Yes.
Like, this is a very expensive parade. Yes, I don't know who this appeals to, but this is very wild stuff. I'm down for that. Yeah, we'll talk.
I would watch that.
Let's talk Universal Orlando and see about. I know a couple people over there. It's a very popular movie, making a ton of money very fast. So expect Fast and Furious 9 and 10 over the next 2 and 4 years.
I mean, they're probably just gonna do a Baker's dozen.
Well, they already said that they're going for 10.
13.
Like, that's an unlucky number, but we'll see what happens. A new movie is coming on DVD this week. You mentioned Emma Stone. La La Land comes out on DVD. Were you a fan of La La Land?
Yeah,
it's a fun movie. Yeah, I think it's really good. My second favorite movie.
There was something I was kind of upset at first when I saw some of the previews, and these are, you know, just seeing untrained dancers and untrained singers and thinking about all the thousands of, you know, really good singing actors out there that are unknown.
Sure.
But then these actors were, to me, so good.
Yeah,
that it overshadowed and good their together horrible, disgusting dancing and singing.
Yeah, like, I didn't notice that Ryan Gosling tended to look at his feet apparently when he
the
danced.
Whole time.
Yeah, that was
the whole time.
That was pointed out to me afterwards. I was like, oh, did he really?
He just looks down.
I didn't notice, but he looks at his feet, which is cute. I think it's cute. It's endearing.
Yeah.
But Gosling and Stone together, yes, they have great chemistry and they're great acting in what they do, and singing and dancing wise, they do okay enough.
I never felt like Emma Stone was not in the movie. Like, every scene, she was there.
Present.
Like, she was in that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I
sure.
never felt like...
Oh, I think she's good.
So good.
I think she's good. And pretty much everything, even if it's like a Superbad or a Zombieland, you know, she's good. Or if it's something more emotional like this.
And isn't it true when some people win the Oscar, they kind of just go away? I don't think she's going to go away.
I don't think so, because she won it while she was young. So I think it's just gonna build some momentum.
But like Mira Sorvino, didn't she kind of win the Oscar? Wasn't that her in Uncle's Vinny?
Yeah, no, Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei, like, she won the Oscar, and then she just said, "Woo, bye."
Yeah, and then it took until recently the wrestlers when she got a little bit of a resurgence, a kind of a later career resurgence, and she's a little more popular now again. She's Aunt May in the new Spider-Man movie is coming out this summer. Yeah, which is very, like, look at this. Now we have Hot Aunt May.
Yeah.
And they're actually alluding to that. Like, Iron Man, Tony Stark is hitting on Aunt May. It's like, I'm going to go talk to your hot, ridiculously. He actually calls her to Peter Parker, your ridiculously hot aunt, which is super funny. So, Marissa Tomei.
Wait, is Iron Man and Spider-Man going to be in the same movie?
Yeah.
Oh, what could you cross Fast and Furious with? Like what their Universal world could stuff. Cross with
monster movies, the Mummy movies, Werewolf, Dracula, Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible is Paramount. That's Paramount. What else is Universal?
Could you mix it like would they go into Cars Land?
Because no, that's Pixar. No, you would have to mix them. You have a better shot mixing with DreamWorks. Ants. Cars and ants. Sylvester Stallone's like, I'm an ant. I'm a tiny ant in a giant car. This makes sense. Underworld, colon, Blood Wars. Ooh, don't say colon.
That didn't work out. No, no.
Colon and blood in the same sentence.
That's a bad combination of words. Underworld, subtitle, Blood Wars. There we go. Clean up that one. Yeah. I saw the very first Underworld movie back in like 2000.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. Shocked, I tell you, that they made a movie that's an action film, that's like a Matrix-y action film between Dracula, vampires, and werewolves, and they're running around shooting each other, and it's all super cool, and they're dressed in leather, and I was shocked at how boring it is.
Yeah.
So incredibly dull.
And I mean, the only thing, I think at the end of the second one, the bad guy gets chopped up in helicopter blades.
That sounds awesome.
That's the only cool part of the movie.
And yet I get to the end of a second one to get to that part?
Yeah.
I ain't watching stupid movies.
Or was it the third one? I don't know.
What's come out in theaters, Drew?
And, speaking of what's Emma Watson doing next, she's hanging out with Tom Hanks and John Boyega in The Circle.
The Circle. This is one where Tom Hanks is the bad guy because he plays like a...
John who?
John Boyega.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
The fellow from...
Star Wars.
The Star Wars and Imperial Dreams, which I saw at... Speaking of film festival, I saw that at last year's film festival, mm-hmm. and then it just came out like on
Star
DVD.
Star Wars?
No, Imperial Dreams.
Another
movie.
That sounds like a Star Wars movie. Imperial Dreams.
Star Wars colon Imperial Dreams. No, it's a movie about John Boyega plays a guy who's a single dad, or I think maybe his baby mama is in jail, is possible. And he himself just got out of jail, and he's trying to raise a son, but he's like homeless because of red line housing and how... in like housing in LA, if you're a convicted felon or a convict, you're not allowed to live in certain parts of town. And he's like, well, this is where my family is. It's a crazy movie. It's really good though. Imperial Dreams.
Felons and people who come out of jail get
felons' rights.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's a new Jim Crow
treatment.
It's why the criminal justice system dings blacks and Hispanics harder than whites. It's because it's the new because due to red line housing and jobs, and that's how you can discriminate against people. Like, oh, you're a convict. Oh, no problem. Okay, well then, make sure you check down your application for everything. And then you're marked.
No voting, no, yeah.
Right, it's fucked up, right? They're trying to restore voting rights for felons in Florida, which I'm all for.
Good.
Because most of them, it's bullshit offenses anyway. And what, like, yeah. And like a person who's a dirtbag murderer is going to be like, oh, I got to make sure to vote for my local Congress. In this midterm election, this is so important to me. You know, it's like, guys, get yourselves, let's get over yourselves. So The Circle. Is a Ponsel, James Ponsel, the guy who did The End of the Tour mm-hmm. with Jesse Eisenberg and Jason Segel, the David Foster Wallace movie. And he also did The Spectacular Now with Miles Teller and Shailene Woodley. Yep. He's a great director who makes small movies. This one looked a little bigger. It's about a software company, a Google, Facebook type of company, Apple type of thing. Tom Hanks is running the whole thing, the whole show, and it's all about privacy and how much data you give up. And it seems to be some sort of thriller. And Chinny McChinson is in it. The Reese Witherspoon, lighter heavy.
Emma Watson?
Yeah, right? That's what we were talking about before? Yeah. The chin?
No, Emma... Who?
Yeah, Emma Watson.
Beauty and the Beast?
Beauty and the Beast, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
She's in this one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you seeing a picture of her, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a prominent chin?
You know what? It kind of is.
Let me see that chin. Let me see that chin.
I'm on the poster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at that chin, yo.
Yeah, I'm not trying to chin shame.
No, but you're right,
but
though.
When you make a doll, you know, if you have to be a doll,
to be a doll, it's
get
tough.
That chin.
I think with a chin like that, though, makes her a good candidate for Batgirl or something like that.
Yeah, know? Yeah. A cowl. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because, why?
Because if you're going to wear a cowl, your chin game has to be strong.
You got
to
have a strong chin game.
You can't have a soft, you can't be like me. I have to cover it up with a beard or else you see the chin sinks into the neck. Yeah,
I got the same thing.
Right? You have to have a Ben Affleck, this ridiculous jowl jaw thing that then juts out of your bat cowl.
I feel like Ben Affleck got the wrong, the raw end of the shitty deal.
On what? On the divorce?
Just in life. I feel like nobody likes him. He's a beautiful man. I don't know if he can act, but
he's okay. He's a fine enough actor.
He's a better director than he is an actor.
And he is also like he's also stupid ripped. And so now all of his movies, he has a point of take at least one scene with his shirt off. Where it's like the day before he dehydrated himself, so it looks extra cut.
Yeah.
Every movie now has a scene where he's at least doing pull-ups or where he's dragging he's doing some CrossFit. In the Batman movie, he was doing CrossFit in the Batcave.
Pretty much.
It was ridiculous.
Also coming out this week.
Just to show off how ripped he is.
But I appreciate it. Would get me into Batman.
Well, then you should start watching these movies. You should start watching.
All right.
Also coming out this week,
Superman 2. There's a lot of shirtless Superman scenes. Anyway, go ahead.
Did either of you see Superman 1 with the new?
Yeah,
Man of
Steel.
Yeah.
Did you stay for the whole movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I walked out.
You walked out? Did you? When did you walk out?
Absolutely. When it was off, I couldn't. I was
at a certain point in time.
Well, then don't watch new Batman movies because it's the same director. People. As a matter of fact, Man same of Steel everything. Is better than those other ones. So. If you walked out of that one, don't even turn on Batman.
No. All right. I like the Batman with the brown Anne Hathaway. Wasn't she?
Yeah. Right? The Dark Knight Rises.
I like Christian that Bale. One.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, sure. And Bane.
It's Chris Nolan.
Tom Hardy is Bane. Yeah, the S&M mask on the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else? Rhodey.
What else is coming out in theaters?
How to Be a Latin Lover.
I don't even know what that is.
No, I saw a commercial for it the other day. It's some comedy.
Some comedy.
Some guy finding himself dumped after 25 years of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
A man who made a career of seducing rich older women must move in with his estranged sister, where he begins to learn the value of family.
Aww, that sounds terrible.
And also coming out this weekend, Slate.
Slight?
Slight.
That's a movie that was a big hit, I think, at Sundance in January. Low budget movie about a young kid, he's like 17, 16. Raising his young sister by himself and to make money. He's a magician, street magician. To make money, he gets in with the wrong crowd, ends up like owing the money or something, and he has to, I think they kidnap his sister, maybe. Then he has to like save her with magic.
I was about to say, but he has special powers.
But also, he might have special powers.
he might be a superhero.
It might actually, that might be real magic.
Yeah.
But the guy who directed this, he's going on to direct something gigantic next, but based off the success of this movie already, and it hasn't even come out yet, so there you go.
Do you think Tom Cruise could bring back Transformers?
In what way?
Like bring it? Isn't it now hated? No one likes it. It's bad.
Yeah,
Bay.
I mean, critically, they keep making money.
Yeah, but
no one likes them. I don't know anyone who actually likes them.
But everybody sees them for some reason.
Oh, okay, never mind. If they're surviving on their own.
They
don't need the cruise.
Shit, tons of money.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg said on money. He's like, you know what, guys? We're gonna get these giant robots. We're gonna save the fucking world. And we're gonna make a ton of money. Yeah. All right, we're good to go.
That's what they do.
that's what we do.
I forgot that they made those.
They still make money.
The new one's got Anthony Hopkins.
I tell you what, though, if they put Tom Cruise in one,
toe.
I'm there opening day and opening night, seeing that shit twice in one day. And
yeah, he could take all these
any franchise.
Lower franchises.
You put him in any franchise. Put G.I. Joe as one. That's a dead one that could use
Chips.
Chips could have used it because Chips was terrible. I have same feeling with Baywatch. It looks horrible. It could use some Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I think that Chips, the problem, I didn't see it, but I saw the ads, was that blonde man, that tall blonde
Dax
man.
Shepard.
Dax Shepard.
I think he has an unappealing problem.
And the problem then with Chips is that that's his baby.
Yes.
He produced it. He made it happen. And that's why he's played that role. And
good for him for being a business person, but
I don't think people like him. I don't think people like him that much. Isn't he from the Punked crew? Ashton Kutcher's Punked crew? I think that's where he got popular.
I mean, I remember the first time I saw Dax Shepard was Idiocracy,
which is after Punked. Yeah. And now he's probably best known as being
Kristen Bell's husband.
Yep. Veronica Mars' husband. I'm like, Veronica Mars, you blew it. Could have had anyone.
I don't think of her as Veronica Mars. I think of her as the voice of Frozen.
Elsa? Is she Elsa? Or is she
not
the
Elsa,
one?
She's the other
is
one.
Is she the snowman?
She's not the...
She should have been. Do you want to build a snowman? Actually, I haven't seen Frozen. I need to...
I finally did after the whole hubbub died down.
You saw it afterwards. Did it hold up after all the hype and everything? Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's super simple. So simple to understand.
Probably why it got so popular. Simplicity is key to all these things.
Do you think, like, because they added a frozen ride to Epcot, do you think they're going to turn every country into a movie? Some kind of related to the Disney movie?
I think
China would be Mulan.
I think if they can link it to something that's very popular. They're making a Mulan live action.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be good.
Pretty much all of their animated movies, they're working on a live action
version. That would be
so good. Are they actually going to cast Chinese people in Mulan?
Yes. They're even looking for a Chinese director. They're going out of their way to try to find a Chinese female director. They're trying to find one. Which is ridiculous that they have to, quote, try to find one.
It's going
to
be really rough when they try and remake Aladdin.
They are making Aladdin, as a matter of fact. We'll talk about the live-action version of Aladdin in the second half of Cinema Crescendo. But before we get there, we have to finish up the first half, which means we have to do one of the most popular segments on our show, Mark, which is called Dr. Drew's Two Cents. And here is the very long intro for that.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
I remember Doc Hollywood, Mark. Bridget Fonda was in Doc
Bridget
Hollywood.
Fonda.
Bridget Fonda.
Bridget Fonda.
Back when she was something that you would say in trailers. Dr. Drew, take it away. What is this week's prescription for life?
Chris, recently I was reminded of an old adage, something that I learned a very long time ago, but only recently had to relearn. Mm-hmm. Anytime you fight with an inanimate object, you lose. So... there we go. Doctor's out.
That's it. Don't fight inanimate objects.
You lose. You can't win.
Okay.
I mean, when you punch the cooler, the cooler doesn't care, and your hand hurts afterwards.
When you punch the cooler, the cooler punches back.
I mean, when you get in a fight with the road's going to win, and you're going to lose. So, yeah.
Sometimes you eat the bar, and well...
sometimes the bar beats your ass. Yeah,
the bar eats you.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, there you go.
Do you enjoy taking an inanimate object and expressing your feelings? Like, I've enjoyed throwing phones. I've enjoyed taking pictures off walls and throwing them at my kitchen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, all the time. I mean, that's why I'm massaging my left hand right now, because I punched the cooler door because I was pissed off last night.
Which door?
The cooler door at work.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's steel.
Yeah, I was going to say, coolers are typically not made of, like, styrofoam or rubber.
No. It's made out of steel.
Like, yeah. I could see myself slamming the door.
Yeah, no, I punched the door.
I'm a door slammer.
Yeah.
I punched it.
Feels good.
He's a door puncher.
It hurt. Now my hand hurts.
And now his hand hurts.
Wait, so can you sue your job? Was this in a restaurant?
Yeah.
So can you sue the restaurant? No. Because it was your doing. Damn it.
It was his own dumb damn self that did it.
And even still, what, workman's comp? No, I'm not going to pass that drug test.
That's true. They drug test you for that workman's comp.
Yeah, they do.
Let's take a break, guys. Crespo Disco time. I grabbed a couple songs off the Free Fire soundtrack because they're pretty good. Drew, remember the movie Dread? And remember how that movie had a soundtrack that was ended up being not used?
Yes.
And it's called, like, Drock or something like that. The guys that did that soundtrack and also did the one for Ex Machina. They did the soundtrack for Free Fire, which is like a lot of 70s rock-sounding stuff.
Very much so.
So enjoy these couple of songs and a couple of quick commercials, and we'll be back with the second half of the show with Drewster Cogburn and Mark Baratelli. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back.
What's the fuss?
Hey, Etchy, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yep. why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Etchy, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, yeah. Thank you so much for your annual donation of $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine, because of your generous contribution, that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of radio. Hello, Cinema Crespediso listeners. This is Chris from BYOCB, the podcast where we drink, we laugh, we drink, inviting you to join myself and my co-host Alex as we take you out of a studio environment and into different environments that revolve around enjoying a few adult beverages with your friends. Check out our stuff at BYOCBShow.com or give us a follow on Twitter at BYOCBShow.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
That's right, guys. We are back with the second half of episode 224 of Cinema Crespediso. So Roman numerals, that is CCXXIV. That's right. Hanging out with Joseph Cogburn and Mark Baratelli. Guys, how you doing?
What up, dude?
Good.
All right. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 all over the internet.
I know. I know, yeah. The same thing, but we got to say it. Uh-huh. We might have a new listener this week who doesn't know.
Nice.
Antihero 419 all over the internet. Antihero 420 was taken, so we just went back
so
one.
So very long ago. Dude, I did this when I was like 16.
I know, it's amazing. It's like over a 20-year-old online persona almost, uh-huh. Man. Yes. That's amazing. It is. You know how hard it is to create a digital footprint that deep?
Yeah, had to start early like I did, Chris.
Yeah, that's true. You got on it right away. People, email Drew if you're looking for a volcano expedition expert and a lava under lava diver expert. Email Drew at DrewSirCogburnLovesVolcanoes at DrewHatesLava.org, and he'll email you right back. Right, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
100%.
Mark, The Daily City. Where can people check that out?
TheDailyCity.com, and we're the same on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, okay, people check out the social media accounts. What's the publishing frequency? What are you shooting for Daily City?
Back in the day, we did 5 stories a day, yeah, 5 days a week.
You were a daily blog for a long
time.
That
was... no, I'm not doing that. It stressed me out.
That's a ton of work to write that much and to publish, to be that fresh online. People don't understand how much work that is.
That is a lot of work and it drives you crazy. Mm-hmm. So now I write when I want to. But because of that, when you want to write, when you sit down, you want to do it, you write like a ton of stuff.
That's true.
So like I'll put a ton of stuff out like on a Monday or Tuesday and then like take Wednesday and Thursday off, and I'll put all the stories out on Facebook. Like yeah. I'm doing about putting out three stories a day on Facebook.
Okay.
So kind of going back up. But yeah, it's I love it when I'm in control. I can write when I want to and screw it when I don't.
Yeah, sure, exactly. I mean, that's the whole point of doing your thing. That's why I eventually went to chriscrespo.com. First off, all the websites I ended up writing for before ended up being extinct anyway. You can't, there's no no more dirtyrottensports.com. That's gone. Guy.com, that's gone.
Over.
Examiner.com got turned into something else. So all those articles, years worth of articles are gone. So chriscrespo.com, now it's mine. I run it, right? It's however my frequency. As a matter of fact, people may have noticed, but as of like last November, I stopped writing reviews on the website because I just don't have the time for it anymore. Plus, I feel like I've been writing those reviews for so many years. Well, how much longer do I got to do that for? You know, people get it. I like
forever.
Movies. People get it. I like the movies. Now it's all audio reviews. So the Daily City, when do you have coming up for Food Truck Bazaars?
Huh? Which week?
Well, this is being put out today. So what's next?
Oh, well, tonight we're in Palm Bay. The big one in Orlando is on second Sundays, 5 to 8 p.m. in front of Fashion Square Mall. 17 trucks.
Nice.
Bring your own chair or just take it to go. But that's our big one, second Sundays.
Bring your own chair is pretty important, too. Because some of
yeah, if you want to hang out, we don't provide chairs. And the cost, I would love to provide chairs, but it's just a bit, not enough money coming into
it. It's another expense and the logistics of it and the renting of it. That's all right. All that extra work. I mean, you're
it's really
doing
just
enough.
the cost of doing it. sure. But if you bring your own chair, if everybody brings their own chair, then it's good. But yeah.
Current top three favorite food trucks, go. It doesn't have to be 1, 2, 3, but top three.
Tamalico, Swedish, and I still love Ben Bomb's tacos.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. People look for those trucks at a food bazaar.
Only eat at those.
Only eat at those. Eat at those trucks. Then screw the other 14.
Screw them all.
Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. I know you're a busy dude with all that stuff.
I'm a busy woman.
It's very
busy
cool.
Busy lady.
Very cool of you to come hang out with us and bullshit about whatever. For example... we like to talk about that pop culture. We like to talk about that movie news, and we have a whole movie news segment, and it starts with the intro that goes like this.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic
Caribbean
getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beach?
That's right, it's your movie news segment. That's where we talk about the hottest celebrity beach bods, the biggest Hollywood divorces, and of course, most importantly,
what's going on with the Biebs?
Who needs to know what's going on with the Biebs? Mark, you have our Justin Bieber update for the week? What's going on with the Biebs, Mark?
What?
What's going on with the Biebs? What's going on with the Biebs?
We need to know. I'm being put on the Biebs spot.
Yes, you are.
Justin Bieber was in Cabo on vacation.
Ooh.
And he got into, of course, an altercation with a bartender. Tried to start a fight. The bartender tried to swing. His bodyguards came in to protect him. He picked up a glass, threw it, didn't hit anybody, but was he is banned from this Cabo resort called Tiki Tiki's. So,
poor Biebs getting banned from resorts in Mexico.
That was
going downhill.
So awful.
Thank you. That by far the best Biebs update we've had on the show. Yeah, we've
been doing
it for a few months now. That was easily the best one. We're waiting for a comment from the Tiki Tiki's people, but there's still no comment from them or Bieber's camp.
They're going to have to let Biebs in again. Do you know what I mean? Like,
he's
no
Justin
one can
Bieber.
Keep him.
You
yeah.
can't keep him out. He's
you,
the Biebs.
You get mad, and then after a few months, you're like, okay.
It's like, okay.
You're still cute with your shirt on.
You can pee in our mop closet in the kitchen. That's fine. Remember when he did that a couple years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
And people got really mad for like 4 hours, and then they're like, it's Justin Bieber. Movie news segment, guys. This is when we talk about some things going on out there in Hollywood land. For example, this whole Dwayne Johnson, Vin Diesel feud that's been going down surrounding the Fate of the Furious movie. Have you heard about this at all, Mark?
Yeah, and it seems contrived and false.
Right. I was saying a year ago when we first reported on this that it was all a buildup to Dwayne Johnson versus Vin Diesel at WrestleMania here in Orlando.
Oh.
But then that never happened.
That didn't happen.
So I was wrong about that. But it does feel fake, right?
Yeah.
But there's some things about it that feel a little too real. The pettiness of a certain things. Is your Wi-Fi on your phone, Drew?
I mean, I've got data. Yeah.
Turn your Wi-Fi on, will you? Thanks, but I can hear the waves, the radio waves. We reported on the show last week. There was a scene because Jason Statham is in the new Fate of the Furious movie, and him and The Rock.
Is he English?
Yes, he is English. Okay. He's a delightful little Englishman.
He's
a small guy.
He's a tiny guy.
He's a tiny guy, but he does a lot of action. I think that's part of the fun. He's a smaller dude, and then in movies he beats up on bigger guys with karate.
I've watched films like that.
Yeah. Transporter, stuff like that.
Oh.
Well, that's what he was in that one. Yeah. And you're talking about other things.
I'll give you the link later.
Thanks, appreciate it. Always looking for new
gay porn,
expanded horizons, especially Drew, right, Drew?
Right.
Mr.
Cogburn.
Drew Cogburn.
One of my favorite quotes is from that movie. I do not want to sit in a field and shoot cornbread. Right? Am I right?
Is that true? Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's that old lady.
Yeah. That they come across. Yeah,
no, we're talking about Katharine Hepburn, right? Katharine Hepburn is in Rooster Cogburn.
Yeah, in the original
movie. Yeah, Rooster Cogburn. Grit.
Oh, you're talking about Rooster Cogburn, which is the spinoff of True Grit. Not the original True Grit.
Oh, no. Because
he plays Rooster Cogburn in True Grit, and then he did True Grit 2, and then he did Rooster Cogburn.
Yeah, I'm talking about just straight up Rooster Cogburn.
I never saw Rooster
Cogburn. We are not here to shoot cornbread in a field. That was her quote. I was like, what is this movie? I love it.
Drew, are you going to go shoot some cornbread?
Yeah, if by shooting cornbread, you mean reset the internet again.
That's a good idea. Why don't you do that? I'm showing.
Oh, technical.
That might just be your computer because I'm showing I have internet. Anyway,
no, we've got signal but no data coming.
Oh, it might be a whole different issue then. Well, then you know what? In the meantime, I'm going to talk to you about the Vin Diesel. Right? I thought it was contrived in the same way I thought it was fake. Now this is why I think it might be real because Universal and the producers really like the chemistry between Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham, right? And the way the movie is set up, it's they're working on a team together trying to track down Vin Diesel's character. His character goes rogue or whatever, right? Okay. They're on the eighth installment of the franchise, so they're talking. We've already introduced amnesia into characters and like fake deaths. It's so soap opera-y, it's ridiculous. Universal shot a scene with Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham where it was pretty much setting up a spin-off movie that they want to do. They want to do a spin-off movie of Fast and the Furious.
That's great.
But with just those characters and Charlize Theron's character as the bad guy, like them trying to track her down.
Okay.
Vin Diesel's sister found out about this extra scene. I guess she's a producer as well on the movie.
Oh.
The sister found out about this extra scene that was going to be like at the end of the credits. Told Vin Diesel, who got super pissed, contacted Universal Studios, was like, you're removing that scene. There's no way you're going to take the focus off of me and my character from the Fate of the Furious.
Yeah.
So they had that scene cut from all the theatrical print from this movie. So there's no like tag on them like they've had for the last few movies. But
that doesn't mean that sequel or that spinoff is not going to happen.
Universal
right?
has since announced that we are for sure doing a spinoff of Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham's character. And that's when they announced that Charlize Theron's character from this most recent movie will be the bad guy. So that's still happening. Matter of whatever that scene is on there or not, it'll be like on DVD and stuff now.
That was a dumb move to ask for the scene removed.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially if the movie's already going to happen.
It makes him look so petty, right? Yeah. Like, Vindy, why are you so petty, bro? Like, all these flavors out there, and you choose salty. That's really fucked up.
Oh, that's a good
meme. That's a good meme, right? Yeah. That's a good meme. So that's still happening anyway. And then in the meantime, apparently Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel, oh, shit. This is what I'm sending off. My Drew Cogburn versus the world. Drew Cogburn versus the world. Apparently, these guys have since buried the hatchet. The Rock has gone to Vin Diesel and been like, listen, I know this is your series. You're the man. My bad. He did a mea culpa. And Vin Diesel's like, okay, it's fine.
Bobby, bro.
So we'll see. We'll see what's up with those guys and their beef. But guys, it is time for Drew Cogburn versus the world. Drew, so far this year, you are 8-3, a record of 8-3. You're doing quite well. This week's game is a simple one that we've done before. And it's called Think of the Children. I'm going to tell you a movie. You tell me the rating. Is this movie rated G, PG, PG-13, R, NC-17? You have 5 choices. Excuse me, let me take a drink of my little frog in my throat. Mm-hmm.
This one's for the children.
Thank you very much. I think I'm going to cut that out, and that will be the theme song for the game. Drew, since you won last time, you got to go first. I have 2 groups of 5, Group A, Group B. Which one do you want?
Group B.
Group B, here we go. What is this movie rated? G, PG, PG-13, R, or NC-17? Number one, The Passion of the Christ.
Rated R.
That is rated R, correct. Number two, Zootopia.
PG.
That is correct. Number three, Wall-E.
This one's for the children.
PG?
No, Wall-E is G. Rated G. Number four, Transformers. Speaking of Transformers.
PG.
PG-13. I'm sorry. And finally, number five, Beverly Hills Cop.
R.
That is correct. So you got 3 out of 5. Mark, you need to get 4 out of 5 to win.
Oh my God.
If you get 3, we have a tiebreaker.
Am I playing the same game?
The exact same game. I'm going to give you 5 movies. You tell me, is it rated G, PG, PG-13, R, or NC-17? Here we go.
Deceptively difficult.
Yeah, weird, right? Number one, The Lego Movie.
G.
PG. I'm sorry, PG.
What the hell was PG about a goddamn kids movie?
I don't know, man. Oh, there's a lot of violence in that movie. Yeah. When they burn down Cloud Cuckoo Land.
Yeah, they do.
Oh.
It sinks into the ocean.
So what age is that movie for?
Kids it up.
All right.
Very specific. But your parent has to be there.
Your parent has got to be there.
Can I just break for a hot second?
Sure.
I was in a movie. Oh my God, it was called like Teacher Fight.
Okay.
Did you know this movie?
No.
With Ice-T
fighting. Fist Fight. It should have been called Teacher Fight, but it's called Fist Fight.
Yeah, I was in a movie. That movie. Was that a flop?
Sort of. You were it in
was,
it?
I was in the theater.
Oh, the theater. Okay. It. Yeah, it was sort of a flop. Yeah, it was a little floppy.
I loved it. It was, speaking of over the top, all of the things they were doing, they were like shooting guns at students.
Oh, really?
That's not true. But they were like swinging bats and stuff.
Yeah.
But there, I realized like sort of 15 minutes in, I looked to the right and there is a baby child, mm-hmm. like at least 6 years old, with his parents. And they're cursing. They've shown boobies. And I'm uncomfortable, so I go to the manager, and I was like, there's this thing in there that shouldn't be there. Well, and they were like, if it's 6 and under, he's not allowed, but if it's 6 and over, he is allowed.
What? Really?
So I go back, and I look at him, and I'm like, that kid is too tiny. So I went back and complained.
Yeah.
And I was, which means they were going to escort the family out.
Yeah.
So I didn't go back in the theater, so I asked for a refund, and I was like, I can't go back in the theater to get my boyfriend and my mom's friend who was there. So I just walked out of the theater with my refund to the car and texted them and said, please come out of the theater.
Oh my goodness.
Because this family might.
Whoa, that's a lot just because a child was there.
It is but I want to say, it's very important if you see a freaking child in a movie. Those do you not burn kids' brain?
Then I see that. I've seen that a bunch of times. When I went and saw Watchmen, the very R-rated movie,
no
Watchmen,
where
there's cursing and there's violence and there's sex. I was in there, and some dude was in there with kids that were like 13 and 10 and like 5. And I just kept getting younger down the line. And there's like crazy things happening, and they're just sitting there watching a movie. I'm like, this is a little fucked up. I saw Miami Vice, the Michael Mann one.
Yeah.
Very R-rated, sex scenes and stuff, very violent. Some dad walks in there with like 5 or 6 kids, all of them 10 years old or younger. At some point, they're just like, they're doing a thing where they're running up and down the aisles in the side of the theater because it's a Michael Mann movie.
And yeah.
This is allowed. This is, I had no idea that this is allowed, that a person under the age that the movie is actually for is allowed in with a parent.
Because they're not, these aren't laws. It's not legal. It's self-censorship. It's the theater, the exhibitors, and Hollywood agreeing that this is the system we're going to have so that it doesn't become legalized, so that censorship isn't a thing, a government thing. So the R...
So doesn't that mean that children can watch porn?
Now I get into obscenity laws and stuff and the definition of porn.
I think there's some
Then you start getting into like Supreme Court cases and opinions and things. Yeah, it gets hairy. It's weird. We set up a really weird system for ourselves.
Well, and I just want to say, if that happens to you, I want to, anybody listening, I think if you see a kid that's younger than you think should be in that movie, go to the manager, tell them that they're under 6 and get them out of there.
Make
protect the kid.
Make the judgment call is what you're saying.
Yeah, because clearly the parents aren't.
Someone.
Because they're basically what I saw, and I made up the story, was like, they want to go to date night. They're not going to get a babysitter. Screw it. We're going to bring the kid with us.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like, why?
Screw you, like, why bring nasty kid? Parents.
Yeah, that you can't.
Jerks.
It's like when I used to work at Starbucks, and my friend that worked there with me, if someone that's a little hefty on the hefty side, or maybe morbidly obese, would come in and order like a mocha or a drink,
you would use less sugar,
get the non-fat milk in there instead of the high fat.
How nice is that?
I thought so, right? Maybe some sugar, yeah, sugar free vanilla instead of normal.
Did
vanilla.
You try the unicorn?
No, not me. No, I haven't. I stopped drinking Frappuccinos the day I started making them for money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's basically like dessert, right? It's
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cream Frappuccino with a mango syrup and like all this other shit in there. And I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I keep tabs on Starbucks stuff.
Could you make a Frappuccino with Pop Rocks? That would be cute, right?
Yeah, sure. It's just a blended drink. And then and then as you're drinking, it comes up through the straw. Then it's like in your mouth. Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a
I'm
thing.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Number
this
two.
For the children.
For the children. Think of the children. Number two. Should the children go see The Hangover? What's that rated?
R.
R is correct. Number three. Alice in Wonderland.
PG.
That is correct. Number four. Bad Lieutenant.
R.
Ooh, that is NC-17. I'm sorry.
That sounds like a porn.
That Harvey Keitel does get naked.
The butt scene?
No, you see his little sawed-off shotgun. Yeah, you see it. And number five, Jurassic Park.
PG. PG-13.
Oh, you saved it. PG-13 is correct. 3 out of 5, you guys tied. That means we gotta do a tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker, you got the best of me.
You take
me.
That piece of paper.
All right.
You take this piece of paper. You have a pen. Drew has a all pen. Right. Guys, your question is, we're doing closest to the pin. John Travolta, apropos of nothing said so far, John Travolta has been in how many movies? We're doing closest to the pin, going over or under, doesn't matter, just whoever's closer.
What is the purpose of the pen and the paper? Do we just
you're
say
writing
it out
loud? You're writing down
oh,
your
I
number.
Oh, I hand it to you.
Yes, that is right. You're writing down your answer. John Travolta has been in how many movies? Closest to the pin, he wrote it down. Well done, I'll take the pen back too, because I'm going to need that. Drew answered with a red pen. John Travolta has been in... What is 26. I was like, what is this? I was looking at that. I was like, zero?
Zero. He's never been in a single movie. He's real a figment movie. Of your imagination.
I was like, are you doing some sort of like Price is Right dollar over type thing? You say 26 movies. Mark says 36 movies. The correct answer is 45 movies. Mark, you are the winner. Yay. Well done.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
Well done. Knocking Drew down to a record of 8-4. Take
eight
that,
and
Drew. You were 8-3.
Still am.
Wait a minute. Wait, I want to ask a question.
Fuck
did you lose on purpose just to make me feel good?
No.
Oh, no, that's not.
No?
No.
No, he wants
I don't do anything.
26 movies in like a 40-year career? Did you really think that?
Who knows?
You know. You're bullshit. You're trying to make the guest feel good.
No, Drew doesn't have a heart like that.
No.
I can guarantee that Drew doesn't care about...
26 movies? You're like... Yeah, no. No, I don't believe it.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
All right. Rihanna's been in 26 movies.
Take the win, brother. You won. Okay, congratulations. Right. Well done. Back to the movie news. What's the next story? Next story. Richard Gere. Do you guys know why Richard Gere hasn't been in any Hollywood movies lately?
No. Gerbils?
Too old.
No, not the gerbils, but maybe. No, back in 90... Oh, I can't remember the year, but during the Oscars in the 90s, this article says specifically 90. Oh, I wish I had read this ahead of time, but I didn't. Because he was, right, Richard Gere was super popular in the 80s, in the 70s, tons of Hollywood leading roles. Then he presented an award in the mid 90s, I believe, 1997, where instead of reading the script, he talked about Tibet. And how China needs to be cool with Tibet and let them recognize their own independence, etc., etc. Got on the shit list of several people that year, including especially producers or Oscar producers. Mm-hmm. And he got harder for him to get work. The last movie he did was Knights and Rodanti, which was like almost 10 years ago. Since then, he's been doing indie films. And with China becoming an even bigger market, with movies like Fate of the Furious making a ton of money over there, they don't want Richard Gere to be in movies because they're trying to sell these movies to the China. And the
China's
Chinese...
mad at him.
Yes. Right. Well, the Chinese government doesn't like him.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who... They say which movies get to play in theaters and which ones don't.
You know, maybe that's in the era before websites and before Twitter, where he probably could have expressed his view in more depth and we all... it would have been his own thoughts on his own Twitter, you know.
Yeah.
Where he didn't have that opportunity back then, so.
So he had a platform where it was like, well, this is one of the most watched programs in North America at the Oscars.
Which
the
is
Oscar
a ceremony. Shame. I mean, that show should be 30 minutes.
Oh my God, thank you.
So awful.
Thank you, yes. One quick song and dance number, 30 minutes of awards, and get the fuck out
of
there.
Get out of there. Because I'm sure you've seen like a video from like one of the original, some of the old Oscars.
Yeah.
It was like a dinner party. Yeah. And
it's closer to what they do now with like the Golden Globes and stuff.
Yeah, around tables.
Yeah, and having... it seems more chill. Now it's like this big show and it's a production. Stupid. It sucks. And I watch it every year like an idiot. Like a god.
Don't have a choice.
Damn moron. Jeff Goldblum is in the new Thor movie coming out this year, Thor Ragnarok. He plays a character called the Grant, the Game Master. The Game Master in the comic books is a blue character from head to toe. Jeff Goldblum in Thor is not. He has like a little blue stripe on his chin, but otherwise he just looks like Jeff Goldblum with some eyeliner. The director, Taika Waititi, had a very specific reason for not wanting to make Jeff Goldblum blue from head to toe. You guys have a guess as to why.
Because of Avatar? Like, it would be too similar to Avatar?
No, but close. You're actually Smurfs. Pretty close.
Are they using blue screen, not green screen?
No, that's an interesting idea, though. No, but you're close to the Avatar thing because Jeff Goldblum was already blue from head to toe when he was in Earth Girls Are Easy.
Oh, you're right, he was.
Remember Earth Girls Are Easy with him, Jim Carrey, and
why the
David
hell would
Wayans?
That be relevant?
Because he was blue in that movie.
And he was. And the director was like, I don't want you to
I don't,
be blue
I don't
in
want him
movie.
To be blue in this one
oh,
either.
Go to hell.
Because I don't want people thinking of Earth Girls
no
Are Easy.
No one's going to think of that movie. That's shut up, what? I don't believe it.
Taika Waititi did. He saw Blue Goldblum and he was like, Earth Girls Are Easy. No fucking way.
Taika Waititi is from New Zealand. Maybe that movie has more prominence in Kiwi culture than it does in America.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They, yeah, I don't know. They don't think less the tall guy and more Earth Girls.
Can I say I would like Jeff Goldblum to have more moments?
I think
he's very funny,
especially outside of like Apartments.com commercials, right? He can do better than that.
Yeah, that's where he's doing his best work right now.
He can do better than relevant. That. We teased this earlier. Going to bring it up now. Aladdin live action remake. It's happening. They're doing it.
Are they casting actual Arab people?
Well, so far the only actor in talks for anything is one person for the role of the genie.
Okay.
Who would you cast for the genie if you're making a live action?
Robin Williams, but he's dead.
But he's dead, so who would you go? Who would be...
No, this is a good question. I wish you would have told me this. This would have been good to tell me, like,
so
2 weeks
so think
prior.
Of, so think yeah. of a while, but then you might have
I
seen
mean,
it pop up.
I think
up.
If this movie would have been made 20 years ago, Jim Carrey. Because he has that...
Yeah. Sure, the manicness. Yeah.
Rattle, off.
I could still go Jim Carrey. He's an older guy now.
But Robin Williams would have need to have been dead 20 years ago.
Yes,
you know, 100%. So Robin Williams really should have thought about the time in which and kind of got it done earlier so that this movie could have been made.
And we could have made room for it. In an alternate universe, Robin Williams killed himself much younger. And
you know, John Travolta did Hairspray, which he did not belong in at all.
No.
Right? Like, why are you doing this? So he's probably, I vote for John
Travolta
and his 26
Travolta.
Movies.
I like,
this
I like,
will be his 27th.
His 27th movie. John Travolta's 27th performance as a genie. Drew?
No, I mean, if we're going weird, fuck it. Nick Cage.
I'm going to give you three wishes. So we're gonna Nick Cage on stuff.
Now, are they gonna make him blue? Because in Kiwi Land, you know, we're gonna.
I don't know. I don't know if they're gonna make him blue. As a matter of fact, especially if this actor gets the role, it's gonna be hard to put blue makeup on him because they are talking to Will Smith.
Huh.
Will
interesting.
Smith is in early talks to be the genie.
I was gonna. This is funny because on Broadway, it's an African American actor playing the genie, and I was thinking like African American potentially
there
for some
go.
Reason.
For some reason. Well, it was in the air.
Is maybe. Will Smith producing this?
I don't think so.
Schlockety?
No. No, it's purely Disney. Disney's producing it. So.
I feel like, has Will Smith done a comedy in the last few years, last 10 years?
I
loved him
see.
In Men in Black.
He,
I thought he was so funny in that.
He's great at that, and I actually really
like
his really,
suit look good.
I really liked Men in Black 3. I feel like that one's kind of under the radar.
I
like, didn't
see it.
See, I feel like people need to see it. It's good because it's a time travel movie, so a lot of it takes place in the 60s, and Josh Brolin is doing a Tommy Lee Jones impression the
kills
whole time,
it.
And he's really good. It's
kills
a lot of
it.
Fun. And Jermaine Clement Speaking of Kiwis from Flight of the Conchords,
he's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy, Boris the Animal. But anytime anyone calls him Boris the Animal, he's like, it's just Boris. And it's really mad.
Like, I'm not
it.
An animal.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's a good movie, I think. It's a lot better than the second one. The second one was made in the face of a writer's strike, which they freaked out, which this comes up every 5 or 10 years. There's one happening right now where there's a potential writer's strike that might hit it in May. So all the studios are freaking out. And so when they did Men in Black 2, it was like, we just have to rush this into production. We have a script. We need to get this done now. And end up being a bad movie. Same thing happened to Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes. That was a writer's strike movie. Anyway.
You know what would be fun is to make the genie potentially a woman.
Yes. Switch it up. Why not?
Like, I can't think of one of these great women comedian actors.
Michelle Yao. Make her a kick-ass genie. A Chinese woman. Why not a Chinese woman?
Is she a comedian?
No. She's just Chinese.
So you're just saying a woman. Just make it a random Chinese fighting woman.
Let's go
as... Is this Mulan?
Let's go as left field as possible. Okay. Let's do a mashup.
I just think with the Ghostbusters ladies...
I'm about to say, I think...
Big fan of that movie.
I think Melissa McCarthy would be a good genie.
Or because she's rotund.
Well, no, because she's manic.
She can be manic.
She's very manic, and the genie's fucking manic.
She can pull manic off, yes, and I enjoy Melissa McCarthy. Yeah, she'd be a good genie, sure. Mm-hmm. Very white genie. Wow, so it's right. But he's blue in the cartoon.
Exactly.
Blue.
It would just be fun, to, you know, because it wasn't that... We like Genie because he was a man. We like Genie because he was genie. Funny. Because
yeah.
he was funny. So
very
it
funny.
Can be anybody who's
But that
funny.
Humor and was he, specifically Robin Williams'
he,
humor,
yes.
though.
I mean, the Genie was more like Robin Williams doing a Bugs Bunny. Because he turned into a lady a couple of times.
Yeah. He's like, oh, hey, look over here. Oh, no. I'm a lady. Oh. Mm-hmm. He's like, who's that? Oh, that whole thing. Yeah. It's like, send, take a word. Can you sweep? You know, that whole thing. That Robin Williams.
Very Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, very. It is very cartoony Bugs Bunny. Well, it looks like it might be Will Smith. It's early talks. No one signed on the line that is dotted just yet. But if they went Will Smith, I'd be fine with
it. I like it because then it will bring the whole audience in, you know?
Yeah.
I like multicultural. Oh, like, except for Black Annie.
Blandy.
Rot in hell,
Black Annie. Was weird.
Actually.
Although I like the little Kuvanja Wallace.
Yes.
I mean,
of course,
she's fine.
You know,
it's not her fault that she was cast.
You know what I think would be really good? Actually, if Will Smith played Jafar, played the bad guy.
Yes.
Will Smith is the bad guy.
That'd be fun.
That'd be really fucking good.
Yeah. Well, he's Will Smith, though. We can do a lot of stuff.
I know.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'm just saying, but I think...
I'm down with that.
The man who did the voice for Jafar is probably still alive. He's a Broadway actor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why not just cast him? Gilbert Godfrey, right? Just dress him out as a parrot.
Exactly.
As a giant parrot.
Yes. Gilbert Godfrey is the parrot.
Yes. Yeah, so cast him as the parrot,
uh-huh.
then.
Yeah.
Well, they'll probably do a Jungle Book, Lion King style, like CG parrot.
I swear to God, if they didn't use Jeremy Irons in that fucking Lion King,
the Lion King
action
Scar,
movie, I'd be really pissed off.
And James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
He's still alive, too.
Yeah, he is.
And Jonathan Taylor Thomas, he's still alive.
Yeah.
All those people are still alive.
No, it's...
Nathan Lane.
Isn't it going to be African-American... actor, because that whole thing was set in Africa with a bunch of white actors,
sure,
except for the black lioness.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's all the whitest people too, like Jeremy Irons,
Taylor. White people in Africa white people playing lions.
I'd be damned. Just get the cast of Black Panther. That's an amazing cast that they got over there. It's like every great young actor and actress we have in this one movie. I can't wait for that movie. Anything else with movie news? Let's see here. I'm checking, and no, there's nothing else here. All right, let's get into the next segment, which is going to be from our homie Billy D up in New York City, our horror film aficionado, New York City senior correspondent Billy D. He has an intro, and it goes like this.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Billy D hits us up. Drusa Cogburn reads it. Here we go. Take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
Last night, I went and saw the band Junius at St. Vitus in Greenpoint. They were so heavy, I feel shorter. If you want some moody apocalyptic rock music, think Depeche Mode meets Tool, but early Tool with all the mysticism and shit. I recommend them without reservation. I also decided to treat myself this week to a special screening of Free Fire with a Ben Wheatley Q&A at the Alamo Drafthouse here in Brooklyn with friend of the show, Tim. First, the theater. The Alamo here is dope. There's great movie stuff everywhere you look, from the shining carpets to posters of the Empire State Building topper they used in King Kong, just dripping floor to ceiling with movie love. The bar is also a wax museum full of creepy oddities and death mask replicas. If you want to eat at a table with a bisected pregnant woman inside it,
then you got, they got you, fam. The movie Free Fire is short for a feature. I'd say it comes in around 80 minutes of total screen time minus credits, but it packs so much into those 80 or so minutes. The premise is simple. Imagine Reservoir Dogs. Now imagine all the characters are Tim Roth. It's so fucking good. Basically, two groups of people meet at a warehouse to do a deal. The deal goes horribly south super fast because all these people are idiots. I'm already a Ben Wheatley diehard. He got my attention with The Great Kill List and has only improved since then, never content to stay in one genre or mode. After the beautiful and stylish high-rise, this down-and-dirty action flick is a great palate cleanser. Mr. Wheatley was there with us in the theater and was super gracious and answered a bunch of questions. I've put together some of his highlights. He'd make bigger movies if they asked him to. Until someone asks him to make a big film, he's just going to keep making whatever he likes. He doesn't think of himself as an auteur. He collaborates fully with his wife slash partner Amy and says she's the better of the two of them. He writes three drafts of a script, convinces her to rewrite it, and that's what they shoot, whatever her rewrite is. They used 7,000 bullets in Free Fire. We better have used 7,000. That's how many I bloody paid for. Seriously, see Free Fire. Catch all the pew-pew-pew. It's awesome.
Pew-pew-pew.
Stay cool, Billy D.
Thanks, Billy. We really appreciate that. Look at that. Actually reporting from a Q&A with Ben Wheatley. Free Fire up in New York City. Very, very good stuff. You can find Billy D online at I Love Blood. Don't worry, Mark. He's a nice guy. I know I Love Blood.
He sounds funny.
He's a very funny dude. Also, on Facebook, look up Billy. Oh, I think
Billy
it's called,
D Takes Pictures?
Billy D Takes Pictures is what it's called. His Facebook page just started because he's
freelance.
He's freelancing, whoring himself out as a videographer and photographer. And the guy actually is pretty good.
Good for weddings, quinceañeras,
100%.
All those things.
As a matter of fact, speaking of weddings and quinceañeras, you can hire me to do trivia at your weddings or quinceañeras. Nice.
And
I'm doing wedding. I'm doing a wedding this weekend. No, I'm not doing a wedding. I'm doing trivia. Starting.
I was going to say you can also notarize the wedding.
I can notarize. I can also sir. I can.
You can officiate the wedding.
I can officiate the wedding. I can solemnize the
ceremony.
I can sodomize the ceremony.
I can sodomize. I can have. I can yeah. take. What's it called? Prima noche. You got to send me a link for that one also.
Do you know what I thought? Of the worst, I'm sorry, the worst person to play the genie, Amy Schumer.
Ooh.
Wouldn't she just ruin that movie?
Well, she would like sex it up. She would do her Amy Schumer thing.
Oh my god, Aladdin, my pissy is so blue. My piss, I'm so drunk.
When you say
she
like
would
that,
shat
I would,
up that movie
would,
so bad.
Yeah, but I would see that now, though. When you describe it that way,
now you want to see it.
I'm there.
Maybe if she played like Jasmine's mother, the character they invent for
not her. Even Jasmine.
Yeah, sure.
I'd see that. I'd see that train wreck of a movie. Train wreck, that's an actual one of her movies. I didn't even mean to do that. What was that? Oh, yeah. April 26th, Cork and Fork Restaurant, East Orlando. I'm doing trivia there at 7 p.m. And every Wednesday thereafter. Be there, guys. Chris Crespo Trivia. Follow that on Facebook as well. You guys got a lot of stuff to follow on Facebook. Daily City, Chris Crespo Trivia, Billy D Takes Pictures. Just follow it all and pay attention to what you're doing. Thanks, Billy. We appreciate it. Now let's get into the segment of the people, the voice of the people, Mark. We ask people to hit us up every week. CinemaCrespediso@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, however. And then we will read it on the show in the segment that we call the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox
Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Drusy Cogburn. I missed the button, and I had to do it again. Drusy Cogburn, take it away.
We got an email from Ron out in L.A.
All right, Ron is our homie out in L.A. Big gay Ron. We love Ron. He's an awesome dude.
So I saw Fast 8, and it was a super snore.
Oh!
At least to me.
Oh, Ron didn't like Fast 8.
It was super predictable, and I didn't remember some of the chicks that just showed up. Ramsey's and that cop. Where are they from? But I wish they killed off the Brian character. It would have made the payoff of this movie have more gravity.
Huh, interesting.
Jason Statham and Helen Mirren saved this movie for me, making it a solid C+. I laughed at their chemistry. I did like how they tried to bring it all together, but did they forget who killed Han? We shall see what happens in the next two movies. The hauntingly hellish Drucifer probably had mixed feelings about this movie as well.
The hauntingly as you, Drew, you're the hauntingly hellish Drucifer.
I am. But I would like to hear your take on it and on Legion as well. Aubrey Plaza is bae.
Glad I also like vagina in her case. She played her role so well. I watched Parks and Rec, so I know her history in TV. What other shows are you loving? Best wishes.
Oh, man, lots of unpack in that one. So he didn't like Fate of the Furious.
Nope, not so much.
Sorry, you did, Ron.
I mean, it's definitely, what, of 5, 6, 7?
And 8.
8?
Of those 4.
It's definitely the weakest.
Of those 4?
Of the 4.
I would agree. I would agree with that. Did you have mixed feelings? I guess we already talked about that, though.
I mean, yeah, there was a certain par set on the last one.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're dropping vehicles from the sky and using attached things as pendulums.
You got Tony Jaa in it.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's fucking insane.
Yeah.
And then you follow it up with this. I mean, there were some parts that were insane.
It was good.
There were...
Not as good.
Like the zombie car scene.
Zombie cars
that were
fun.
Was impressive.
That was fun.
But that was really like the only big
thing. And then the ice chase at the end.
Yeah, the ice chase. They ruined the ice chase in the trailer.
In the marketing.
Yeah.
Stupid marketing. So. His other question was TV shows.
Legion was awesome.
We enjoy Legion.
Fucking amazing.
We're going to do a talking TV where we talk about Legion in depth. What are we watching now, though? Are you watching anything on TV now?
Kimmy Schmidt.
The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
They've done 2 seasons so far.
I think maybe. I don't know. I heard that whatever the current season is coming up.
Oh, really?
Coming up
on Netflix. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Is it?
It's like 30 Rock times 2.
Because it's Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Right. It's her show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch it, man.
Oh my god, that guy. Do we know who we're talking about? Did we watch this show? No.
I haven't watched it. No. I know of it.
Oh, the very funny gay actor would be a great genie.
Anybody knows the black guy on that show?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know the guy's name.
He is so funny.
He's always wearing like... he looks like the
crazy
He looks
outfits.
Like the black version of the guy from Modern Family, the bigger
fella.
Yeah. Sure, that works. Yeah. You just need somebody... You need somebody manic.
So with the energy.
Yeah, the guy would be energetic and up there. And
or Stephen Wright.
Wait, for like the 80s comic?
Yeah,
like...
the 80s comic. He's still alive. He's still kicking around. Like, so you got 3 wishes. Your first one, your wish is granted.
I think manic and like just as long as you like him.
It's got to be likable. It has to be a likable person.
Oh, he's funny. I like it.
Yeah, because there's manic people out there like, ooh, I'm not enjoying this type of energy. This is too much.
That happens. Amy Schumer, she should.
Not a fan of Amy Schumer is what I'm picking up from you, Mark, from this general direction over here.
What was the movie? Well, yeah. What was the movie where like the actor was playing the role and died, and before it was finished, and like 5 actors ended up playing his role?
Fast and Furious. That was the last one.
No. I mean, are you talking about the Heath Ledger one?
Yeah.
That was the Terry Gilliam movie that no one saw. The
Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Yes.
What if they did that treatment for the genie? Like they had 5 different actors. Somehow they justified.
Let's get the same actors. Let's get Colin Farrell, Johnny Depp, and Jude Law. I think it was Jude Law was the third one.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember that. Or go with the route with that Bob Dylan movie. I'm Not There.
Yeah,
where it had 5 different people.
Kate Blanchett.
The best Bob Dylan was Kate Blanchett
by far.
Richard Gere. Speaking of him, the worst one. Christian Bale was one. Who else was a? God, there's 2 more. That one had 5. And the Kate Blanchett ones were easily the best because that was the one where she made where Bob Dylan made the turn from blues musicians to rock and roll, and then they did the Newport Jazz and Blues Festival, and Bob Dylan shows up, and the way they demonstrate Bob Dylan turning his back on the blues community is having you ever seen this movie? I'm Not There. So it's all black and white, and it's looking like it's like actual press footage or whatever. Kate Blanchett in the suit as Bob Dylan leading the band up to the stage. Everyone's like super excited to hear this acoustic music. The band's on stage with their back to the crowd, and then they turn around and they all have automatic weapons and they just start firing into the crowd and they're firing at the camera. And then it cuts to they're all on stage with electric instruments and they're playing rock and roll. And then the crowd, they're like, boo, and they start booing Bob Dylan because they don't like that they're plugged in and they're turning their back on the whole acoustic thing.
I have to see
it. It's
that
a crazy
now.
Scene, yeah. And it's demonstrated with the machine gun thing. It's like, whoa, that's a crazy image.
That's what I think is missing from Feud. Are you guys watching Feud?
No, not yet.
For women and gay men.
The Bette Midler. I want to see it, though, because I like FX.
Betty Davis.
It's just old, a bunch of old queens.
Bunch of old queens watching a show about old queens.
which I'm fine with. I just like whatever FX is doing, I want to check it. But is it good,
though? But that gun, the idea of, because that puts it into perspective, because you're not, none of us were there in the 60s. We don't understand why, if they just showed
the betrayal
and then the audience going, eh, we'd be like, why are they mad?
Yes.
Why would they, but the gun, yeah.
It really brings home the, how hurt these people were. Like, you might as well have just mowed them down with weapons to, that's how they feel.
That's such a great metaphor. Like, right now, Feud is just, like, reenacting these moments, and you kind of, like...
Is it very straightforward, just, like, on the surface? Yeah. You don't seem too excited about it either.
No, because, like, if you're gay and you love old movie ladies like I do, you've seen all the YouTube videos that this entire thing is based on. They're all out there. They're based on interviews. They're based... Like, it's all on YouTube.
Yeah.
So you know the source material. And all the source material puts it into perspective, but but they treat this as just like reenactment. So you don't know how important these things are.
Interesting. Not. Did you see the People vs. O.J. Simpson?
I started. The acting, can we just tear? It's so good.
Choose a side.
Isn't it
so
amazing?
Good.
Courtney, top to bottom.
John Travolta is a little quirky.
I really appreciate this. He does a weird Bob Shapiro thing where he's like kind of clipping a little bit. He's like, I'm bringing it back.
We didn't need that. Yeah, just.
But I'm not even a David Schwimmer fan. I thought he was funny with the whole puppy dog thing as Rob Kardashian. And as he gets hurt, it's like, OJ, did you really? I think that's a fantastic show. And it's the same thing where it's reenacting things that happen. We have the source material.
But how does it start? How does it start? It puts in perspective. It has that the stuff that happened prior to.
It's got that fucking dog.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's the marketing.
Fucking dog.
That was all the marketing and stuff, yeah. No, but yeah, it puts things
in perspective. It starts with the Rodney King trial.
Yeah, well, it puts everything in perspective.
You have to have the Rodney King trial
to
then see where the anger comes from.
For it to all make sense, the whole black-white thing in L.A. specifically, and the distrust of the LAPD and all that stuff. Yeah, it built up a lot of stuff there. So you're not recommending a Feud, then. It's not I shouldn't be on demand in it right now.
I think it's fun. It's not fun to watch if you haven't seen the source, if you haven't seen the original videos.
And I'm not,
put them into perspective.
I don't have that frame of reference. I'd be watching it pretty cold. Like, I know who the actresses are in terms of, you know, Hollywood history and all that, but it's not like I've seen the interviews.
Like, there's this character, Hedda Hopper, and she just comes off, you're just like watching, like, why are you over the top and why are you wearing floppy hats? Well, there's reasons for all that. She's super relevant, and when you watch her talk, the real lady talk, she was not that weird.
Playing it up even more of a character.
That's not what she was.
All right, well,
anyway,
I guess not a rousing recommendation of Feud from Mark. But hey,
who else should they do feuds with? Like, I know the next one is, what was the next one? They've announced the next one.
Are they doing a series of feuds?
That's the whole concept. Is it like every year is a different feud?
Oh, that's...
I think it's Princess Diana and Charles. I feel like I read that.
Whoa, that's intense. Mm-hmm. Who else? What are famous feuds? Family Feud. I'll play a feud. I feel like, well, we were just talking about a feud earlier. I guess further down the road, it happens all the time. Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel.
That'd be a good feud.
You know, that's a feud. Like, look at these muscle headed meat idiots bitching at each other about who's getting more screen time. That is actually a really good idea. There's always people who just don't get along in these industries and famously get into it.
Famous feuds.
Oh, yeah, all right. I had no idea that they were doing another. That's the, I guess, a du jour, the anthology series. You pick a theme, and then every season it's a new story. I'm fine with it. It gives you room to finish a story.
It's like what's happening in retail. I've been
things have been shrunk down. Is that what's going on?
No, that in department stores they're bringing in these celebrities and brands to do pop up shops inside the department store. So every month there's new content.
Oh.
So just like the TV shows, every year is a new. So you're not stuck with the same character.
Swapping out what's on the inside, changing out the guts.
Yeah, taking your guts out,
putting some new ones
all over the place.
It's all about them new guts. But not the new Guts TV show, which didn't do very well on ABC. Remember the Guts TV show from the 90s?
On Nickelodeon?
On Nickelodeon. It was called Guts, and it was a kid's version of like American... Course. It was Obstacle Course. It was like American Gladiators.
They had the Aggro Crag, bro.
Yeah, the Aggro Crag. It was very popular in the 90s for kids.
We gotta kick it back to Mo.
Kick it back to Mo. Let's see who's on the leaderboard. Mo. And it was some English chick. And she's like, the first place is Roger with 250 points. And then they tried to bring it back.
And they had Global Guts, too. Global Guts
is when they had, from Israel.
Yeah, all the kids who didn't speak English.
And then they tried to do a Family Guts, bring it back. And filmed it at Universal Orlando. This was like 6 or 7 years ago. This was when I was working for the guy who's best friends with the dude who's a producer on the SpongeBob and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they did a season of it. And no one watched it, and then
And then the close up shot.
Very sad. Very, very sad. Thanks, Ron. We appreciate the email. Anything else from Vox Popular?
Yeah, we got an email from Gabe.
All right, Gabe. What's up, Gabe?
He's got Movie Doldrums Waiting for Guardians.
All right, let's hear it.
He's got a review of Nocturnal Animals.
All right, Nocturnal Animals. That's a good one.
Great editing and direction. Debating rewatchability, although I would like to see it again to get the metaphorical parallels of the two stories. Love the ending. It resonated. I resonated with it because I'm in my feelings right now. Really liked this movie. Explores regret for what happens in your life and the decisions you make. Watch it. Collateral Beauty Review.
Hold on a second. Did you ever see Nocturnal Animals when that came out last
year? Who was in it?
That was Jake Gyllenhaal, Amy Adams.
If it doesn't have a celebrity, I don't care about it. You know what I mean?
Sure. I'm Amy Adams. Adams. She plays a fashion designer lead. Who
she's scum.
She's
The boyfriend tries to kill her or comes back.
Something like that. The boyfriend is Jake Gyllenhaal. He writes a manuscript that's sort of loosely based on their relationship, and she's reading it, and then the manuscript gets played out in movie form. So we're seeing a story inside a story. The whole thing is written and directed by it's a book, the adaptation of a book adapted by and directed by Tom Ford, the fashion designer. And it's a second movie, and both of these movies are really good.
You ever heard Tom Ford?
Ford, his cousin. I've not heard him speak. I've read an interview.
He talks better
than
me. His speech is so mannered. You have to hear it. Google it.
He seems like, reading about him, he seems like the type of person who would be like very much about grammar and diction, and everything in his life has to be on point.
Thought through. Everything he says is it's not off the cuff. It's not spurt.
Have you heard about how he raises his kid?
No.
Because with him and his partner, they've adopted a boy who's now, I think, maybe 5 years old because he's going to school, kindergarten, very, very young. He's got a very strict dress code where he can wear, quote, whatever he wants, but his clothes, his closet is stocked by Tom Ford, and it's all like designer, it's all designer clothes for kids. And on the weekends, he's allowed to like really pick whatever he wants, whatever outfit he wants, and to put different patterns together and shit. But if he wants to like leave the house with something crazy looking, he can't. And Tom is like, why are you not allowed to wear that outside the house? Because it's, and his son goes, tacky. That's right, because it's tacky.
Are you serious?
I shit you not. You can find us, I think it might have been Esquire.
Wear it outside because it's tacky.
Yeah, it might be an Esquire profile of Tom Ford. And it goes a little bit into how he's raising his kid and how he dresses his kid. And his kid is the most impeccably dressed kid in the world.
Of course.
And he's teaching him at a very young age.
Not to be tacky.
About what's tacky and what's not tacky. And I felt a little sad for the kid when I read it. I was like, that's a bit of a bummer. Because you're kind of killing his...
What the hell is that kid going to do in college?
His imaginative, fun, creative spirit.
I mean, between the ages of 18 and 21, I dressed like shit.
Oh, my God. My dress. Oh, Lord.
Well, and then... But you know, when you think of, your early 20s and you get your first job, aren't you always kind of like, I don't know what to wear. How do I fold a tie?
Yeah.
Whoa.
On top of that...
I still don't know how to tie a tie.
On top of that, my whole life, I've had problems with matching colors together. Clothing-wise, my mom has always been like, that shirt and that pants do not match. I'm like, what? It looks perfectly fine. She's like, no, go change. I would have to change like 4 times before I found some sort of combination that would be pleasing.
Yeah, I think it sounds strange on the surface, but it's kind of a lesson that would be valuable. It's something like it gets in your brain. You know which colors match. You know what's tacky and not. And then,
just presenting yourself nicely, it counts a lot in this world. And yeah, it is something that can be learned.
I don't like high-end clothes. But then I kind of think, well, if you're Tom Ford, you're probably worried about people taking pictures of your kid or just the work. You know what I'm saying? If your kid goes out and they're like, oh, look, he's not taking
care. Tom Ford's son is dressing Gap kids. He dresses him in Baby Gap. Yeah, Tom Ford ain't. He's got an image. It's fashion. It's literally an image to uphold.
He's connected to so many companies. I think he's working with so many, his own brand, and I think he was Gucci for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
that makes sense.
You don't want to make anybody mad in that whole world.
That makes sense.
Fashion.
Yeah. The Zoolanders of the world. that's the most I know about fashion is from the Zoolander movies, so not much then.
Nocturnal Animals.
Fantastic movie. It's a great movie. Highly recommend. Tom Ford's a weird director. Not a weird director. Fantastic director. Weird guy. Fantastic director. Highly recommend checking it out. What else we got from Gabe?
Collateral Beauty Review.
Collateral Beauty. Speaking of Will Smith, that Will Smith movie.
It's not terrible.
Oh.
All-star cast. Well acted. I actually like Will Smith's performance. A story that tackles love, death, and loss.
Okay.
Tries to say something hugely profound, which I think it says something, but misses what it was getting at.
Hmm.
It's kind of a tragedy with comedy sprinkled in,
definitely for people who like to get sappy. I did get emotional. Because, again, I'm drinking it right now. But who knows how I would feel on another watch.
Okay, fair enough.
Office Christmas party review.
Okay.
Some contemporary comedic faces. Straightforward setup. You can tell they had fun making this movie. I'll get you in the office party spirit.
All right, so I'll save that movie for next Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the strange things about the Johnsons review.
Never even heard of this one.
A dark horror comedy. Tense and horrendous, but also ridiculous. Some aspects made me think of Get Out and Too Many Cooks. Well directed and only 30 minutes. You'll be done faster than you can say, hey pops, time for Din Din.
Only 30 minutes, so it's a short film.
It's gotta be.
Oh, okay. Short films are cool. Alright, thanks a lot, Gabe. We appreciate it, buddy. That's our homie. Anything else for the Vox Populi?
Oh, my package is shipped.
Your package has shipped. Your mattress is here.
No. Well, my adventure hoodie.
Oh, your adventure hoodie has shipped. Fantastic. Great news. Mm-hmm. That, you know what that means, then?
Tough lightning round?
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, Mark, here we go. It's a lightning round time. I have 10 questions for you, and I need you to give me your answers right away. Okay. First thing that comes to mind. You ready?
Yes.
We're going to learn a little bit about you. Here we go. Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, rabbit season or duck season?
Rabbit.
Number two, spinach, yay or nay?
Uncooked, yes.
Ooh, right, specific. Number three, what's up with chicken hawks?
That's a very old reference that only old people would know, or children, right?
Yeah. You're a chicken hawk and I'm a chicken.
Yeah, 100%. Number four, mayonnaise or Miracle Whip?
I don't like that it's called aioli. Isn't mayonnaise called aioli? Like, shut up. Just call it mayonnaise, you douche.
Well, no, I just call it flavored mayonnaise.
Flavored mayonnaise.
If you, I mean, technically mayonnaise is an aioli. Aioli came first in the culinary world. It's just we called it mayonnaise and threw it in a jar.
Oh.
So.
Okay. Pow. Well, I stand corrected.
This,
I like it.
This is the guy who punches coolers for a living.
Yes.
So. Number five, is bowling a sport? Why or why not?
I don't care what people say. I can't say that because I'm doing a food truck bazaar with a bowling alley. It's a great sport.
It's fantastic.
It takes a lot of brains. Uh-huh. You got to think, a lot of strategy, yeah. And not everybody can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I like the transparency. Number six, what is your perfect Thursday afternoon?
What? Okay, here's honestly, so like I do all my work in the morning and then I take this long, like 3 or 4 hour break because my brain can't handle like working for like once I work, I'm like, yeah,
sure, yeah.
So I'll get in my car, I drive to Millennium Mall, I'll walk around. I'm really into like high end brands that I could never afford,
I'll
go into the Gucci store, you know, and just look.
Just stare,
I really do. And then I usually drive, meander over to Disney Springs, walk around there, eat something. And then by that time, it's like 7 or 8 o'clock.
Oh, sure. There you go.
And I love being in my car. Can I just tell you? There's two things I'm obsessed with right now. Being in my car and my phone.
Really?
There are times when I will park at Target. Park, and then I'll sit for like 20 minutes updating my Twitter, updating my Facebook.
Because
you're just
enjoying being in your car and using your phone? Those two things combined together.
You are cocooned. It is the place with the best air conditioning. You can play the music you want to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
You are alone, which some of us really like to be alone.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you are doing your thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like your own fortress, your own fort.
When you're driving, are you listening to music, podcasting, Audible, books on tape type of deal? What are you doing?
Here's my thing. Do not judge. Hashtag. I turn on YouTube. I do not watch it.
Okay.
Turn on YouTube. I'll put on Judge Judy reruns, and I will play those.
And you'll
one
listen
after the other.
You'll listen to Judge Judy.
I'll listen to Judge
Judy.
Okay. And I'm obsessed with Judge Judy.
That is very interesting.
Because
she is rich as fuck.
She's rich as fuck.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She asks a ton of questions. And I'm learning that, like, dealing with business people, and right, my mom's in the hospital. I'm learning how she asks questions and how she gets it the truth.
Oh, interesting.
She gets to the heart of the problem, and usually the heart of the problem is the other person, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm learning from her. That's what I do in my car. I listen to Judge Judy.
That's fascinating. Okay. Did you see the one where, who's the one getting sued? The Johnny Lydon from Sex Pistols.
I haven't seen that one.
There's one. There's a Judge Judy one where the singer for Sex Pistols is the defendant. He got sued by someone from a drummer for, I think, when he was in Public Image Limited. He got sued by the drummer from that time period.
Public Image Limited sounds like a band in the early 90s.
Yeah, it was an 80s, 90s group.
Who sang this song? I adore me more.
Not Public Enemy.
Okay.
No. Or Public Enemy either.
Definitely not Public Enemy.
I don't remember Flavor Flav doing that one.
You have to see that movie, Teacher Fight, or whatever the hell it's
fist
called.
Fist Fight.
It should have been called
Teacher Fight, but it's called Fist Fight.
It is so inappropriate and so funny. All right. That's my recommendation.
That's your Baritone's first one recommended. All right.
Next question.
We'll get on what's on the DVD. This is supposed to be the lightning round. That's true. Number 7. What is your least favorite holiday?
Oh my God, Christmas is awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be offensive.
No.
Okay, I will choose St. Patrick's Day because I gave up drinking this year.
Oh.
And I feel like that holiday is just bar owners.
Yes.
You know, and downtown, there's really only four people that own all of the bars.
Yeah, sure.
And so I just feel like there's these four rich guys telling UCF students and people, this is what Patrick's Day is, this is what Irish people do.
They get drunk.
They get overly drunk.
Yes,
not even drunk. They indulge too much on this day. It's based on a stereotype, on a racial.
I just don't like a holiday that is designed to get your body into a bar.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's
also dangerous because it's amateur hour.
I mean, drinking on St. Patrick's Day is all on the same level of like serving chicken and waffles on Martin Luther King Day every year.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
It's on the same level.
Damn, Drew Sacagra throwing it really down, is. Saying St. Patrick's Day is racist as fuck.
It is.
All right, Drew Sacagra. Drew made a stand. Ah, no, Mark, Drew made a stand. That's it. Number 8.
Aioli.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Why do people believe in the flat earth theory still?
Wasn't that Tina Marina or Tia Carrera, that Asian?
The one who's a Nazi.
Yeah. Tequila.
I think she's a flat earther, as well as some popular hip hop dude's a flat earther.
It's just like Republicans. You have to have. Sometimes you need something to take your mind off how horrible your life is going. Maybe you haven't achieved your dreams.
Sure.
Maybe you don't have kids. It's just something you regret.
You're afraid that your position as a straight white male is being diminished in society, and you're lashing out at the world.
You know? Well, yeah, and like it's like the people who like the 9/11 conspiracy theory. You have to have something to get passionate about.
Hey,
sometimes you can't create it on your own, so you latch onto these. These are very latchable things.
Hey man, jet fuel can't melt steel beams, brother.
Okay, Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, it can, but whatever.
You ever seen steel melt?
Yes.
Yes, I saw the Terminator 2.
It melts when you punch it.
Yeah,
when he punches it.
Sometimes, but
then it reforms really fast.
Sometimes it bends. Yeah. Most of the time, it's your hand that bends.
What was the question? What was the question you asked me before?
Why do people believe?
Yeah, I think it's because you need something to think about.
Okay, fair enough. Number 9. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Oh God! Didn't that woman die? She died.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Oh. Number 10.
How do I?
Number 10, Big Bird, Mr. Rogers, Barney the Dinosaur. Who do you kick out of the hot tub?
Oh, Barney the Dinosaur.
Gone.
100%.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing, too. I mean, I was thinking first, the feather Big Bird might be a problem, but yeah, Barney's got to go.
Yeah.
He's a big idiot.
Wait, who? Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
I would totally keep him in there.
Yeah, of course.
Because he's going to make you feel. Well,
he's gonna make you feel good.
Like,
he's gonna make you feel good in the hot tubs.
And he's gonna like raise your self esteem. He's gonna be the most positive person.
He just wants to be your neighbor.
Yes,
he does. But he wants you to be your best self. He's kind of like the white Oprah Winfrey.
He does push for 70s. He does push for self improvement and etc.
Have you ever, Oprah Winfrey in a hot tub.
There was something on YouTube that was circulating when. Trump said he was going to take away the public funding for like PBS and whatnot.
Right.
There's a thing of Mr. Rogers speaking to the Senate back in the 70s when they were thinking about doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
ah, and it's
and you put them in their place.
You need to listen.
I need to listen.
Yeah. Mr. Rogers is a very smart man.
I mean, I don't need to listen because I believe in the public funding of all that stuff. And anyway, it's the end of the show, which means it's some swag bag time. All our guests get to go home with stuff marked, so you get your choice: purple bag, blue bag. Choose one, but choose wisely.
Purple
bag. Break out the purple bag, Drew. Go ahead and let Mark know what he maybe get to go home with today.
Sir, you may get to go home with a mighty mustache pack full of stick-on sideburns, cool chops, three funky styles. You can be a cool dude.
Nice.
Finally.
Cinema Crespo Disso bootleg copy of Rocky Balboa.
Oh, that's a good one. That's one of the good ones,
is that
too.
The one with the black Rocky?
No, that's no. Creed. It's the one right before that where Rocky gets his last match and then he retires.
Okay.
And it's actually good.
We've got a hard case crime novel, The Wrong Quarry, by Max Allen Collins.
Nice. Is it about diamonds in Africa?
I don't know.
Oh my god, I wouldn't know. There's no diamonds.
Some
here.
Sort of blood
but it's by the
situation.
Author. It's by the author of Road to Perdition, if that tells you anything.
Was that made into a movie?
Yes.
Road to Perdition was, yes, with Tom Hanks.
We've got a Grow and Glow zombie. It glows in the dark. Just put it in water.
Nice.
I'd like that in my hot tub.
And a whole. Oh, wait a minute. We've got a whole bunch of stickers. And last but certainly not least, we have a Fleer Ultra 98 Jason Kidd rookie card.
Look at that. A Jason Kidd rookie card, basketball rookie card in a protective case. Mark, and there's stickers in there as well.
Yeah, there is.
You can take all that home. That can be yours. Or we put the bag away, and instead you take what we have in the box right over here.
What's in the box?
That's right. There's something in that
box. That box is so big.
That box is huge, and there's something in there. You can take what's in the box.
Can I tell you that I love this Chanel logo?
That's all Juicer Conference.
I love that. I've seen it on your micro or headphones.
Yeah.
So good.
That's all Juicer. And then when we upload it to websites to try to get them to put on t-shirts,
they say
stuff,
no,
like,
because
no.
Blatant copyright infringement.
Very, very important. I think it's amazing.
Oh, now I want to figure out how to. Okay, go ahead. No, how to get around it.
Oh, yeah, we got to pretty much have our own t-shirt press. That's how we do it.
Uh-huh.
Our own sticker maker.
Is there like commentary, like First Amendment? You can take things and
no. So there's a degree. To like, degree, if you can change it, but all he did was.
That's
put
the,
like, Crespo Disso.
That's
a straight up Chanel logo. So you can take what's in the box.
They come out with, I'm sorry, they come out with six collections of handbags per year.
No shit.
And there's probably like anywhere from 15 to 20 handbags.
So
why?
Is that one every 2 months then?
That's, yes.
Well, that, so you know, you,
why? Because somebody's buying them.
I was about
them.
To say yeah. Why, because people buy them. Uh-huh. That's why.
It's a whole industry that I started learning about. Anyway, okay.
Just to slap the CC on there, that's all it is too. Mark, you can take that bag, all that stuff home, or we put the bag away and you take what's in the box?
Who's in the box? What's in the box?
I'd like what's to see in what's in your box. So let me see what's in the box.
All right, we'll go ahead and pop the top, reach in there, and that's all yours, whatever's inside. Go ahead and reach in and grab it and tell people, let people know what you were taking home today.
ladies and gentlemen, for my dining,
yes!
For my dining pleasure, by myself alone, it's a candlelit night. I'm on low carb right now, so it's some slices of cheese an apple or two. Justin Bieber, the OG Justin Bieber with the hair that goes over the eyebrows and some matching napkins does he play piano?
He does everything.
I have no idea.
Oh,
he does everything. Right. He plays piano, drums, guitar. He's uber talented.
Can I just say I'm so grateful that we got to see his wang. Do you remember like 6 months ago?
Is it a good wang?
It's like when we got to see Britney Spears' vagina when she got out of the car in 2007. This is nice.
I remember that, but then she went a little crazy and then she put out a topless picture on purpose, and then everyone's like, you've gone crazy. But she's now turning back around. She's doing well. She's killing in Vegas. I'd see her Vegas show if I had a chance. I'm sure it's super expensive, though. It's a minimum $75 for a ticket.
I think it's closing in 6 months.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Chris, gotta get back out there.
I gotta get back to Vegas so I can see Britney Spears. Drew, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Mark, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. It was fun.
Had a wonderful time. We're gonna have you back on for sure. This was great. Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. It's me, Chris Crespo, Orlando's number one libtard cuck snowflake here to tell you to break up the big banks, read more books, be excellent to each other, and be warriors for social justice. If you don't like that, you're some sort of straight white man with an inferiority complex. Whew, that last word was hard to say. I'm out of here.